ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿಭ್ರಾಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮಾನ್ ಅಭಯಚರಣಾರವಿಂದ ಭಕ್ತಿವಿಧಾನಂದ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಹರಿ ಶೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದಕಿ ಜಯಂ ನಿತ್ಯಾ ಪ್ರವಿಷ್ಟೋ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿಭ್ರಾಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಶತಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮಾನ್ ಭಕ್ತ ಸಿದ್ಧಾನಂದ ಸರಸ್ವಿ ಮಹಾರಾಜ ಶೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದಕಿ ಅನಂತ ಕೋಟಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ವೃಂದಕಿ ನಾಮಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಶ್ರೀಹರಿದಾಸ್ ಠಾಕೂರ್ಕಿ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಸಹೋ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದಕಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧಾ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಗೋಪ ಗೋವಿನಾಥ ಶ್ಯಾಮಗುಂಡ ರಾಧಾಗುಂಡ ಗಿರಿ ಗೋವರ್ಧಾನಕಿ ವೃಂದಾವನ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಮಾಯಾಪುರ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಮಧುರಬರಿ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಜಗನ್ನಾಥ ಪರಿಧಾಮಕಿ ದ್ವಾರಕಾ ಪರಿಧಾಮಕಿ ಗಂಗಮಾಯಿಕಿ ಹೇಮನಮಾಯಿಕಿ ತುಳಸಿ ದೇವಿಕಿ ಭಕ್ತಿ ದೇವಿಕಿ ಸಾಮವೇದ ಭಕ್ತ ವೃಂದಕಿ ಗೋ ಪ್ರೇಮಾನಂದಿ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸ್ ಟು ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸ್ ಟು ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸ್ ಟು ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸ್ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರು ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಶ್ರೀ ಗೌರಾಂಗ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿ ಶಿಶಿಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ನಮ ಶುಭದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪ್ರಸ್ಥಾಯ ಬುಧಲೇ ಶ್ರೀ ಭಕ್ತಿವಿದಾನಂದ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಇತಿ ನಾಮಿನಿ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವದೇವಂ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಜಾರಿಣಿ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶದಾರಿಣಿ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ಅಜ್ಞಾನತಿಮಿರಾಂಧಸ್ಯ ಜ್ಞಾನಾಂಜನಶಲಾಕಯ ಚಕ್ಷುರ್ಮೀಳಿತಂ ಯೇನ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಶ್ರೀಗುರವೇ ನಮಃ ಶ್ರೀಚೈತನ್ಯಮನೋವಿಷ್ಟಂ ಸ್ಥಾಪಿತಾಂ ಯೇನ ಭೂತಲೆ ಸ್ವಯಂ ರೂಪ ಕದಾ ಮಹ್ಯಂ ದದಾತಿ ಸ್ವಪದಾಂಬಿಕಂ ವಂದೇಹಂ ಶ್ರೀಗುರು ಶ್ರೀಯುಧಾಪದಕಮಲಂ ಶ್ರೀಗುರುಂ ವೈಷ್ಣವಾಂಶ್ಚ ಶ್ರೀರೂಪಂ ಸಾಗ್ರಜಾತಂ ಸಹಗಣರಘುನಾಥಾನ್ವಿತಂ ತಂ ಸಜೀವಂ ಸಾದ್ವೈತಂ ಸಾವಧೂತಂ ಪರಿಜನಸಹಿತಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣಚೈತನ್ಯದೇವಂ ಶ್ರೀರಾಧಾಕೃಷ್ಣಪದಂ ಗಣಲಲಿತಂ ಶ್ರೀವಿಶಾಖಾನ್ವಿತಂಶ್ಚ ನಮಃ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪ್ರಸ್ಥಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮದೆ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನಿಧಿ ನಾಮಿನಿ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವೀಂ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣಿ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶಧಾರಿಣಿ ನಮಃ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪ್ರಸ್ಥಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮದೆ ಭಕ್ತಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದಿನಾಮಿನಿ ಶ್ರೀವರ್ಷಭಾನವಿ ದೇವಿ ದೈತಾಯ ಕೃಪಾಬ್ಧಯೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸಂಬಂಧ ವಿಜ್ಞಾನಂ ದಾಯಿದೇ ಪ್ರಭವೇ ನಮಃ ಮಾಧುರ್ಯೋಜ್ವಲ ಪ್ರೇಮಾಗ್ನ್ಯ ಶ್ರೀರೂಪಾನುಗ ಭಕ್ತಿದ ಶ್ರೀಗೌರಕರುಣಾಶಕ್ತಿ ವಿಗ್ರಹಾಯ ನಮೋಸ್ತುತೆ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಶ್ರೀಮೂರ್ತಯೇ ದೀನಧಾರಿಣಿ ರೂಪನೂಗ ವಿರುದ್ಧಾವ ಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತದ್ವಂದಹಾರಿಣಿ ನಮೋ ಗೌರಕಿಶೋರಾಯ ಸಾಕ್ಷಾತ್ ವೈರಾಗ್ಯಮೂರ್ತಯೇ ವಿಪ್ರಲಂಬರ ಸಾಂಭೋದೇ ಪಾದಾಂಬುಜಾಯ ದೇ ನಮಃ ನಮಃ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವಿನೋದಾಯ ಸಚ್ಚಿದಾನಂದ ನಾಮಿನಿ ಗೌರಶಕ್ತಿ ಸ್ವರೂಪಾಯ ರೂಪನೂ ಗೌರಾಯ ದೇ ಗೌರಾವಿರ್ಭವ ಭೂಮೇ ಸ್ವಂ ನಿರ್ದೇಷ್ಟ ಸ ಜನಪ್ರಿಯ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ಸಾರ್ವಭೌಮ ಶ್ರೀ ಜಗನ್ನಾಥಾಯ ದೇ ನಮಃ ವಾಂಚಕಲ್ಪತರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾ ಸಿಂಧೂಭ್ಯ ಏವ ಚ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ ನಮೋ ಮಹಾವದಾನ್ಯಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಪ್ರದಾಯ ದೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ನಾಮ್ನೇ ಗೌರತ್ವಶೀ ನಮಃ ಪಂಚತತ್ವಾತ್ಮಕಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣಂ ಭಕ್ತರೂಪಸ್ವರೂಪಕಂ ಭಕ್ತಾವತಾರಂ ಭಕ್ತಾಖ್ಯಂ ನಮಾಮಿ ಭಕ್ತಶಾತ್ವಿಕಂ ಹೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕರುಣಾ ಸಿಂಧೂ ದೀನಬಂಧೋ ಜಗತ್ಪದೇ ಗೋಪೇಶ ಗೋಪಿಕಾ ಕಾಂದ ರಾಧಾ ಕಾಂದ ನಮೋಸ್ತುತೇ ಚೇತಂ ಸುರದೌಪಾಂಗೋರ್ಮಮ ಮಂದಮದೇರ್ಗದಿ ಮತ್ಸರ್ವಸ್ವದಾಂಭೋಜೌ ರಾಧಾ ಮದನಮೋಹನೌ ದಿವ್ಯವೃಂದಾರಣ್ಯಕಲ್ಪದ್ರುಮಾದೌ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ರತ್ನಾಕರ ಸಿಂಹಾಸನಸ್ಥೌ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀರಾಧಾ ಶೀಲಗೋವಿಂದದೇವೌ ಪ್ರಷಾಳವೇ ಸೇವ್ಯಮಾನೌ ಸ್ಮರಾಮಿ ಶ್ರೀಮನ್ರಾಸರಸಾರಂಭಿ ವಂಶೀವಡತಟಸ್ಥಿತಾಃ ಕರ್ಷಾನ್ವೇಣುಸ್ವನೇರ್ಗೋಭೈರ್ಗೋಪಿನಾಥಾ ಶ್ರೀಯಸ್ತುನಃ ತಪ್ತಕಾಂಚನಗೌರಾಂಗೀರಾಧೇ ವೃಂದಾವನೇಶ್ವರಿ ವೃಷಭಾನಸುದೇ ದೇವೀ ಪ್ರಣಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿಪ್ರಿಯೇ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತ ವೃಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, Ishavasavidam sarvam yad kinjat jagatyam jagat tenatyaktvena punchida maghrida kasya siddhanam. From that whole one verse, the whole Ishavanishad has come. The remaining verses in the 18 mantras in Ishavanishad is only an expansion of this first mantra, which is Ishavasyam. That's why the Upanishad is also given Ishavasya Upanishad. Because this mantra is the first mantra, actually explains a lot in that one first mantra itself. That's why it's given so much importance. Ishavasya Vidam Sarvam Yat Kinchat Jagatyam Jagat Tena Taktvena Bunchida Ma Grada Kasya Siddhanam. So, we were discussing that last Sunday, sorry, last Saturday. We were talking about this in that three states of existence, we have to go back to that all the time, because properly, if you understand that three states, then you have understood a lot actually about the nature of the spiritual nature of the soul. When the soul passes through these three states, as I mentioned in the Bhagavatam classes also, that these three states are a product of three modes of nature that has come to as three states in us. But that's not our real nature. Neither Jagra, Swapnam, Sushupti is our real nature. Our real nature is beyond than that. Something different than all these three. These three are the three diseases what we have got on us. And because we have the science or any other field, they haven't gone in that direction very much thinking about it. But out of these three, again we talked about Sushupti state, isn't it? That Sushupti is important stage. So Krishna says here, it also mentioned that where Sushupti is deep sleep, that limitless, whole, indivisible fulfillment. That means it is only in Sushupti you practically experience that freedom from the world, freedom from the world outside, and freedom from the influence of the modes of nature. You may say that sometimes you can see that you're feeling good in life. It's probably in the mood of goodness you may feel sometimes, or if you feel the mood of passion also, similarly mood of ignorance. These three are experienced during our wakeful state sometimes. But that state in the Sushupti, what you are experiencing then is not experienced in any other state. That is why it's given so much importance. Because all the happiness you are experiencing in the vacant state, in the dream state, is through senses. You see? Whereas in Sushupti, it is not through senses. That makes a big difference. A big difference in that experience of the Sushupti. In the vacant state and in the dream state, whatever you are experiencing is through senses or the mind. Through the senses or the mind. Often you will see this question coming up. People have a little lacking that clarity in there. They are thinking that any experience of the mind, for example, some excitement, emotions, or kind of what they call as ecstasy, ecstatic feeling, all these things are coming from the mind. What actually comes from the soul is Shanti. Peace is the Shanti, is the nature of the soul. That is, Shanti is the original nature of the soul, Shanti. That is why all Upanishads have this statement there, Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti Hi. Shanti is the important thing. Other thing will come and go. But Shanti, even in the normal life, between two thought waves comes in and goes out, between that there is a Shanti state, and that is Krishna's presence there. Between the two thought waves. In the Bhagavatam, if you look there, Prahlada Maharaj says this in the 7th canto, that between two thought waves, there is a gap there. and that gap is Shanti. That gap is Shanti. It is in the Bhagavatam very clearly mentioned there. So, knowing very well that Shanti is the nature of the soul, that is what the peaceful existence, Krishna says here, so because it is not Indriya Vedyam, Sushupti, happiness in the Sushupti is not coming from the senses. So therefore it is called Buddhigrahyam. And because when we wake up, we say that I slept well, isn't it? So because that happiness is a natural thing. That happiness is a natural thing. It's not something you have achieved through your effort. It is given to you by Krishna's arrangement. That he takes us, they give the example, Upanishad says there, that just like a mother takes the baby on the lap and comforts the baby, when the baby, a little toddler, he starts walking and he falls in the beginning. So what has happened? Mother comes and takes the baby on the lap and give the child a comfort. And when the child then forgets everything and feels extremely happy again and comes out, start playing once again, in the same way, in that Sushupti state, we go back to Krishna. And Krishna takes away all our distress in the whole day, what we have acquired, he takes it away. And again, morning, we are back with the fresh, ready to prepare, ready to fight against the world again. So, so because no other happiness in this world you can compare with that. No other happiness in this world you can compare with the happiness of Sushupti states. And that is why we keep on saying that because there is no other example to be given to be as comparable with the Sushupti state, we have to keep talking about the same thing. There is no comparison. So in deep sleep, there is a fulfillment without a person to enjoy it. Because what's happening in deep sleep is that you go into deep sleep, when you come out, you were not there even. That your false ego wasn't there, or jiva wasn't there to say that, I was experiencing that. All you know is the experience. That's all. When you come out from the deep sleep, isn't it? There's only the experience is there, that you had a wonderful time. You have been taken away from a lot of miseries of this world. So, so all other happiness in this world, you are standing there as a person separately and enjoying it, isn't it? For example, if you are enjoying a good feast, you are saying, I am enjoying the feast. Or any other happiness for that matter, you as a person has to stand separately and enjoy it independently. But it is only in this case, only in the case of Sushupti, such a thing doesn't happen. Such a thing doesn't happen. That is the major difference. That's a major difference. That you have should reflect on that. Because any other happiness in this world is centered around me, the person. I am enjoying. I am suffering. I have acquired this. I have acquired that. All kinds of things is centered around me as the center. But in Sushupti, when you go into, you are not having that. You had only experience. But you can't even say who was experiencing it. I wasn't there at that time. I say, person, like in the vacant state or the dream state. So, and what is interesting about Sushupti? Sushupti, because there is no person, there is no difference. It's the same. A king, a queen, a pauper, a worker, a capitalist, a communist, a Hindu, a Muslim, a Christian, a Jew, or whoever he may be, rich man, poor man, man, woman, child, once you go into Sushupti, you're all same. That is the greatness of that state. You see, here we are talking about making everybody equal, isn't it? But in Krishna, is putting us equal every night, all of us in one state. Imagine that, Krishna's capacity to do that. Krishna is saying, come to the Sushupti, you're all equal. Whether it is Indian, American, European, doesn't matter. We're all same in Sushupti. And that is the beauty of the Sushupti state. No, that is why Sushupti state is an advanced state in spiritual life compared to dream state or vacant state. We'll come about to that later, but that does not mean that we'll go and sleep very well and always I'm in the realized state. That's not what it means. That's a different thing. We'll discuss that later. But important thing to realize is that that experience in Sushupti is something to be taken note of very much. Because only in Sushupti you get that. There is no differences between anybody. Whether it is any human being. We are talking about equality. Where is equality possible? Equality is only possible in that Sushupti state. That's where all the perfect equality happens there, when we are experiencing there. So, these are all the great qualities of Sushupti. So, in that Sushupti state, suppose when you are experiencing that, even if the most pleasant things were brought to you and given to you, still you will reject it because of the happiness that you are experiencing from that Sushupti. So, you have to think about it a lot, because there is sleep and there is deep sleep. There is sleep and there is deep sleep. So, sometimes in the sleep what happens, you are dreaming. And if it is a bad dream, if somebody comes and wakes you up, you say, oh, thank you very much for waking me up. I was going through a bad dream. You will say that, isn't it? But suppose you are having a good dream, you will say the opposite also. Why did you disturb me? I was in a good dream at that stage, isn't it? So, so sleeping is a sort of a dull state. Sleeping is a sort of dull state. But deep sleep is absolute fulfillment. What you don't get in, what you get in deep sleep, you don't get it in sleep. Isn't it? In sleep, because there is the influence of the dream state affecting it, you're not feeling that recovery as the way you feel in the deep sleep state. So that's why deep sleep is considered to be absolute fulfillment, whereas dream state is only a sort of state where it's a little bit dull, in the sense that when you wake up, because the effect of the dream is also there in you when you wake up from the sleep state, from the sleep when you wake up, the effect of the dream will be there on you to some extent, and it will take a while to get rid of that till you become active in the wakened state. It will stay with you. So these three states, wakened state, dream state, deep sleep, Jagral, that is what Krishna is talking about in the Agadasham. Very clearly to Uddhava, these three things must be taken notice very seriously. They are there. So, so the important thing is, in deep sleep state, what is known as Atyandika Sukham. Atyandika Sukham means that Sukham which will not diminish or minimize or reduced. When you are in that state, you will continuously experience that. There is no difference in degree of experiencing that. When you are in that state, in the deep sleep state, you all tend to experience that in a constant level, in the constant state. So it is an amazing state this deep sleep is. Amazing state it is. From the Vedanta point of view, what we say is that the whole material existence is gone from you. We talk about samsaram, isn't it? Samsara means what? Material existence. Samsara dhavan analita loga. The first words. We're praying to Krishna to get us out of this samsara material existence. And every day, Krishna lets us out for this from some time. If you get deep sleep. But most of us don't get deep sleep, so what can we do? It's all gone. That is mostly you experience when you are young. When you are very young. Children get good deep sleep, and probably in the youth also. But as you get older, because the subtle body has grown so big, it will pump a lot of thoughts in the night and creates dream. And it's very difficult to free yourself from that. It's very hard to get that. Once in a way, you may get a deep sleep when you are a little bit in shanti state. But otherwise, it is practically difficult to get that state in the dream state. So, example is like this. Even people who are very sick, if they get that deep sleep and come out from that, there are cases where people have got cured. There are many doctors who say this to the patients, that if you get that deep sleep, many illnesses for which there is no, sometimes they can't find out what actually really has caused the problem, the illness. Illness is all just not treatment only. There is other things what's happening inside the body. So when they go into the deep sleep state and come out, doctors have said that there is some amazing thing happening there. In that deep sleep state. So when you wake up and come back in the morning, you feel be a lot better. And sometimes you can see when you are sick with certain things, like for example, you have some headache or stomach ache or something like that. Sometimes simply by resting, you get out of the illness. Just to take rest few days, not getting involved in too many things, allow the body to simply to rest, and you see how did the body recover everything. Where is that coming from? There's nothing you are taking specially, any food or any drink or anything. So it's not the food and drink, it is the effect of that deep sleep state on you. That's what is actually causing that cure inside. You see? So there is nothing much to be, there's a lot to be surprised about the effect of this deep sleep when you think about that. Actually, you can see when many years ago when we were children, when first time electricity came to the village, we were all in great surprise seeing the electricity has come. As soon as you put the switch on, the light comes on. It's an amazing experience in that stage, isn't it? You know how it is. And then one after the other thing started coming. The train came after the railway train. When the train came, we were all standing at the rail side of the rail track and looking at the train in surprise. Shocking that such a thing has come to this world because it never existed before. So when you saw the electricity, you were surprised. When you saw the train, you were surprised. And in it was all surprise after that. Mobile phones, televisions, and loads of things, one after the other, has happened. Not our phone.
Yeah, I mean, if you
mind. Yeah, I think take the call because it could be somebody wanted to come, say, looking for the address. No mind. So, So all these things, what happened with the science and technology, have surprised us, isn't it? We were amazed by the scientific development and changes that has happened in life. But this one thing we have forgotten, how this state is affecting us, this deep sleep. This is the greatest surprise than any of the science and technology. Any of the science and technology. It is the greatest surprise that you can see throughout your own life, you are seeing that a constant improvement in you're able to survive in this world because of this thing called the deep sleep. That's what is keeping us going practically. To such an extent, it has an influence on us. Isn't it? It has an influence on us. We don't take notice of it. We just take it for granted that something has come like that. So, all this... but deep sleep is such a state. If you keep on analyzing this and thinking about it, you will be surprised what all deep sleep is offering to us. And your way of thinking, direction of change, will completely change in another way. When you start looking through Bhagavatam, Upanishads and all that, this is one substance they are pushing very strongly, this deep sleep state. Try to understand this deep sleep. They keep repeating this about it. Because interesting thing about this deep sleep is, there are quite a few interesting things. One thing, Tripudi is not there. Tripudi means the person who is experiencing, the experience, and the object of experience. Three things. That's called Tripudi. When Tripudi goes away, then it's only Bodham. Bodham means consciousness exists. Try to think about this. You see, normally, in everything in this world, I am trying to enjoy something, there is an object there to enjoy, and there is an experience of enjoyment. These three things are called a Tripudi. In the Vedantam, they say Tripudi should go. Only then you are reached the truth. Tripudi must go. In Sushupti state, this Tripudi doesn't exist. All three goes away. I am not there as an experiencer. The object is not there. But experience is there. There's only one thing. Three becomes this one. That experience alone, it becomes. So, Prajapati and Indra. There is a conversation in the Chandogya Upanishad. Between Prajapati and Indra. They are having a conversation. So, the subject there is this deep sleep. When Indra is being instructed about spiritual life by Prajapati. He says, Indra says there, there is a big problem here, he says to Prajapati. Everything is fine with the deep sleep, but I'm not there, he's saying. Indra is saying this. Okay, deep sleep is nice, I agree with that, but I am not there at that moment. I'm not there, the world is not nothing there. And Indra is saying, what is the happiness in that? Indra was asking this question. That is why, at that point, Prajapati goes to the next step and says to him, and in the commentary it says that Indra had made a mistake there when he asked that question. Because he has fallen into this concept that there must be a person to enjoy. This is in our head also, all the time, isn't it? There must be a person to enjoy, and to enjoy there must be objects as well. And we have taken for granted that is happiness. You see, in our daily life, if you look at it, we have taken it for granted we should be there to enjoy. There should be an object to enjoy. Only then enjoyment can happen. This is our understanding. So Indra made this mistake while talking to Prajapati. So Prajapati said to him, that is your misunderstanding. Happiness can exist without all these things, without a person there to enjoy it, nor there an object to enjoy it. That is the difference in spiritual realization and the happiness which comes from the bodham. Bodham means the awareness or consciousness from which everything has come, which is referred to as Brahman. So, Brahmanubhavam, that is what that is. That there is no person necessary to enjoy it. As you remember, we talked about this, Abhaye Bhayadarshinaha. See, we are always frightened. Will I not exist after this? What will happen to me? Will I be gone? Then I don't want it. That's what we fear about it, isn't it? But that state, by reaching that, we get out of this fearful state, fearfulness, abhayam. That is, abhayam, when we think about it, we get frightened, bhayam. Bhayam comes from that. Abhaye bhayadarshinaha. In the Brahmadaranyam says like that. That seeing abhayam, abhayam means freedom from fear, fearlessness. Seeing that state, we are getting frightened. To feeling that, how it will happen to me? Will I be gone? Will I not exist anymore? This fear. Remember, among the 26 qualities of devotees, the first one is abhayam. Isn't it? Abhaya sattva samshuddhir jnana yoga vivastadi dhanam damaschayat ischa swadhyayastava arjavam ahimsa satyam akrodam tyagam shanti abhayishunam daya budeshu aloluptam mardavam hri ajavalam tejakshama dadrashojam adroho adimanida devika sambadam devi abhijadasi bharada. These are the 26 qualities Krishna talks about in the Bhagavad Gita of a person who has got divine nature. We have taken that as qualities of our devotees, but that is not how you take it. This is in our translation we have made it like that. Krishna is saying a man, person who has got a divine nature, he has these qualities. That's all Krishna has said there. He may be wearing a dhoti, he may be wearing a suit, he may not be wearing any clothes, doesn't matter. These are the qualities of that person. Qualities of that person. That, so, Krishna, wherever he refers to in the Bhagavad Gita or in the Srimad Bhagavatam, he will only refer to the qualities of a person who has. He doesn't talk about the dress, what he is wearing. That is not given the importance. So, there you can see, that is why, because Indra had made this mistake, that only if he is there to enjoy it, and there is something to enjoy, because he used such a high level of sense enjoyment, Indra has, in his abode, in the heavenly planets. So that is why he is not able to observe what is there. So he says here that Sopnadi Doshatval Avashishtaham. So it is only after that Indra has been told about this that further discussion happens there. That you have to come out of this. Because even in the heavenly planets, if you go, if there is no genuine understanding of spiritual life and spirituality, it is impossible to accept it. Because throughout life, what we have done is, for us, happiness and distress is based on our own identity, individual identity, and what we are experiencing and what object we are experiencing. So that is everybody's experience. Everyone has experience. So that experience, without your presence, simply in the state of happiness, shanti or peacefulness, that state is referred to here, and it says here, and that is what we are inquiring after. And therefore, this state, when you go back to the deep sleep state, it is considered to be the greatest healing center It is a center where healing happens to us, where the healing happens to us. You see, prior to all this modern medicine development and all that, in the past, many people, they knew how to look after themselves. Nowadays, we have become so weak and our lifestyle is also so different. But years ago, people had this nature that when they get sick, they knew what to do with their own body. And they know where to withdraw. Animals don't have any NHS. They just go. What they know how to look after themselves, isn't it? Where do they get that from, that instinct? When they are sick, animals normally reject the food. Automatically they reject the food. They won't eat anything. They lie there sometimes, few days, and you will see they are back again into normal life. One incident happened. In naturopathy, there is this book, famous book I was talking about, Lakshman Shastri's famous book on naturopathy. So he was living in a village, and right opposite to his house, there was a farmer. Farmer means he had maintained a few cows with him. One of the cows fell sick. And they called, as in the modern times, he called the veterinary doctor to come, spend a lot of money. Veterinary doctor came, injected something. The cow won't eat anything. And all the time it's lying there in one place, in the cow shed. It's lying there. So it was lying like that. And the farmer was feeling a little bit upset about it, not knowing what to do about it. The cow was more or less going to leave the body. That's his come. Lakshman Shastri goes up to him and says to him that don't treat the cow anymore. Don't give any more injections or any more treatment. And leave the cow to itself and see what happens. After all, you are more or less sure now it's going to die. What does it matter? It so happened that when the cow was left on its own and removed all the rope from its neck, left free to go, the cow with a lot of difficulty got up, went outside, and the sun was shining and was lying in that sunshine for some time. For a few hours, it stayed in the sunshine, came back. Next day, again, it got up and went to the sunshine. And after a few days, the cow was back to its normal health. There was no treatment involved. So where did this happen from? So there are so many forces working inside this body, unaware of our... we don't know about it. Neither the doctors know, nor the scientists know. It works. It happens. And those, they have been given that instinct in them, how to react to these situations when they get sick. They know that. It's only our misunderstanding that everything we have to get certified from the doctor all the time. So that's why it says here that many instances you will see, people, they get this restlessness in them, ashanti. Ashanti happens because they don't get proper sleep even. That deep sleep state, they never experienced it. That's why they have that problem. So, in fact, you can see there, people sometimes become very aggressive and very rash in their dealings. All these things is why? Because there is a very subtle influence of other things in their life. Just for example, this modern gadgets, things like what we use, isn't it? All the time fitted here and here in the tube, everywhere you see people sitting there with that on them. Then these mobile phones and things like that. These are not natural things and they have a detrimental effect on our mind, also. Because we have lost and, whereas on the other hand, if you have a peaceful sleep at night, you will be peaceful in many ways because that is our source where everything is coming from. From that source, we have lost touch with that source and we are trying to find some relief from these things connected to the ear. We are trying to find some relief from that, isn't it? Because you can see when people get very disturbed, they put on some music and you will see them how they keep moving their legs like this in the train. You like that? All sorts of things you see in the tube, people doing, like with the music out there trying to shake their heads like this and that, all that. This is all the sign of that restlessness inside. This is not the proper state in a person. And this is how in due course of time it takes you to the crazy state, madness develops from that. We have Krishna, as I said, Purnamada Purnamidam. We are Purnam. Krishna has completed us, made us complete in itself. It can stay on its own without any external support. It has to have find its peace. And when there is restlessness, there is disturbances inside, Krishna has given the deep sleep through which you have to recover that peacefulness back again. Often, why do we say that you sleep over it? When there is a problem, what does it mean? It means that not that in sleep you are thinking about it. What actually it means is that when you go through that state and come back in the morning, you will feel that you are more peaceful inside to deal with that problem in that way. So that is the very subtle side, but worthwhile taking note of. So it says here that mostly when we keep on increasing these gadgets, that's why we shouldn't sit around these gadgets, use them unnecessarily. I mean, for emergencies you can do that, but otherwise it's better to always stay with the older system of pen and paper, or if you want to talk to people directly, these things will help each other because otherwise all these things will go into the deep sleep state into the sleeping state, and deep sleep will become a very rare thing. That's what happens to us. So, and you can prove this by example. Small children, when they sleep well and they wake up, you look at them, how beautiful they look. Isn't it? They look very beautiful when they wake up from the sleep. That freshness on their face. How fresh they look. When the small children, they go to sleep. Why? Because they haven't carried anything, much vasanas with them, to sleep at while night, and they are, because subtle body is smaller at that time, so they have a good deep sleep, and when they wake up they feel completely refreshed in the morning, and it is a nice thing to watch them at that time. Whereas we wake up all sorts of times during the night. Everybody wakes up at different times and not getting sleep. Somebody puts telly on, somebody takes a book and start reading. And various things we engage in, isn't it? So it's just showing that effect. So because deep sleep is Brahman realization. That's why it is. It is as good as Brahman realization. Brahmanubhuti, it is called. So Brahmanubhuti means Atmanubhuti. But the problem there is no knowledge of the self. That's the only thing. Experience is there, but there is no knowledge at that point. That's the only difference. So, Atmanubhuti, or experience of the soul, everybody has in the deep sleep. So, if you cross one more step, if you have that in the Jagrat also, and in the dream state also, if you get that same experience, but the only thing is, that the self-realization without the knowledge of the self, which is a little different. Experiencing something and experiencing it with knowledge is something different. Experiencing with knowledge is something different. For example, if you experience something in this world, but with the knowledge of the thing, what you are experiencing, it is a completely different understanding. In the sense that the buddhi in that state is telling you all the time, this is what you are experiencing. Whereas, simply on the platform with the mind and the senses experiencing something, it comes and goes. It comes and goes. There is no, it doesn't create any ripples inside. Whereas in the Jagrat state and in the dream state, if you experiencing this spiritual experience or self-realization happens at that time, then you will know that at that point in time, the buddhi also is in that state. In other words, the sattva, rajas, tamas, they have not entered into buddhi at that time. They withdraw from the intelligence. That is why in the Upanishad it says, Shrodavyaha Mandavyaha Nididhyasidavyaha. So when Kartyayani asked the Yajnavalkya Maharshi had two wives, Kartyayani and Maitreyi. So Maitreyi asked this question to Yajnavalkya Maharshi. Yajnavalkya says to him, to get that experience, Shrodavyaha, Mandavyaha, Nididhyasadavyaha, means first you have to hear about it. After hearing that, you have to reflect on it. These, particularly these three states,
continuously reflection on that, that is called mananam or mandavyaha. And then when you get that clarity inside after analyzing this state, that you have able to separate yourself from the body, from the mind, from the ego, from the intelligence and the senses, and leaving aside all that, who am I? That question keeps on coming up inside. Who am I, that person who is experiencing that? By continuous analysis of this, you have managed to get the body out from you. In other words, the bodily identity you have taken out from yourself. That is itself an exercise, how to free yourself from the body. How to free yourself from the body. Various methods people use, but practically jnanis do is they use their own life all the time, contemplating on the body, thinking that what body has got to do with me. I am not that body. Body is not mine, because they are firmly fixed on that understanding. So, if we are able to separate the body from us, from our own self, from the soul, separate the body, separate the mind, separate the intelligence and everything which is not me, then Shastra says it will present the soul to you just like the mirror is showing you your form in the mirror. In the same way, the soul will be known to you, what you are, as the your identity as the soul will be known to you. Exactly like a mirror shows to your body, to yourself. In the same way, it will reflect in your chit, your swarupam. Swarupa means your pure identity as the soul. You can see, though, so that sleep, what is there in that deep sleep state? That is the important thing. What is happening there at that time? In the Bhagavatam it mentions sukham atyandiyam. Atyandika sukham. Atyandika sukham means there is no sukham after that. There is no happiness after that. That is the quality of that happiness. There is no happiness after that. You can't get anything higher than that, that kind of happiness. And that is what you are experiencing there. And the interesting thing is, you can't add anything to it, you can't take anything out of it, because it's perfect in its experience while you are experiencing it. So you can see, just like if you are sleeping in an air-conditioned room, everything well controlled, temperature controlled, and a very comfortable bed, but once you have gone into deep sleep, all this doesn't matter. Whether it is air-conditioned or whether the bed is comfortable, all these things doesn't matter. Sometimes you will see, here not so much, but in India you will notice this. You will be amazed where the way people sleep sometimes. Especially people when they come from the West, they are shocked when they see how they are sleeping. Right in the middle of the road, there is, you know, that thing which divides the roads, they will be sleeping there. Both sides traffic will be going backwards, forwards, but they can sleep in the middle. Underneath the bridges. Okay, due to poverty they may be sleeping there. But when the way they are sleeping, they'll take a few newspapers and put it on the floor, that's their bed, on the hard floor, and they will just lie there and they will sleep. And once you have slept, whether you sleep in the AC room, whether you sleep on the newspaper, it makes no difference, isn't it? But important thing to realize there is this, that state, the power of that state, that once you've gone into it, nothing in this world is comparable to that. This is the important thing to learn. That once you're in that state, no happiness, no pleasure in this world can match that. And you will see this, particularly when you go to the big temples, but you'll see there, because many, many people come from different villages to the temple, and they don't stay in the hotels or anything. They come in the probably the last bus in the night, they will arrive. And early hours in the morning, they will bathe in the temple tank, have a darshanam, and then they will go home. So when they come late in the night, they won't bother to go to get a room in the hotel or anything. Somewhere on the roadside or on the main road itself, somewhere they'll put some newspapers and they will sleep. In the morning they'll wake up after they had a good sleep and go and bathe, and they don't complain to anyone. Then complain, they wake up, bathe, and they go to the temple, have darshan, and then they leave and go back home to the next bus, whatever they wants to go back. So, and this is interesting. And another thing is that sometimes they sleep like this. In Mumbai, you will see this. Bombay, if you have traveled by electric train, people will be standing and sleeping. Have you seen that? They stand and sleep. I have seen so many times. And because everybody is packed so well inside, you can't fall in either or any way, any direction. All sides there are people. So they'll be standing and they'll be sleeping like this. It's amazing experience, that power of that sleep, I'm saying. That, so it is like that. So once you have slept, even it doesn't matter whether you are standing or sitting down or lying down. It doesn't matter. You are sleeping still, isn't it? Naturally, you lose connection with the body at that time, in that deep sleep state. Body, it is the most difficult thing to get rid of, isn't it? It is the most difficult thing because you are holding on to it somehow and we feel so strong identification with it. So, but when the body leaves us like this, then we start thinking about it. Why am I so attached to this body? Because in the deep sleep state only, it is teaching us that we are not this body. Isn't it? Body is leaving you at that time. The mind is leaving you at that time. The senses are leaving you. Everything is leaving you and you are happy. So, but when you wake up, you feel again, go back and catch on to the same thing. The same called body. You see? That everything in this world, the things what you have gone and caught hold of, that will all give you distress at the end, including this body. This is the rule. This is the law. Remember that example I mentioned many times before? Few people are standing on the riverbank. A black thing was coming down in the water. So one person thought, let me get hold of it. It's a blanket, looked like a blanket. So he jumped into the water. He wanted to impress everybody that he could swim and get that blanket himself. It was very powerful current in the water. He swam and caught hold of that thing. And when he caught hold of that, he wanted to bring it to the shore and bring that with him. But it wasn't agreeing to come along with him. On the other hand, it started holding him very tightly. So he was going to be driven in the current to the lower bank, to the downstream, and everyone who was standing on the river bank were asking him to come back. He was shouting for help from the water, and they all knew that he could swim. Why is he shouting like this? So they were telling him, leave that and come back if you can't get it out from there. He says, I want to come back, but it's not leaving me, he said. Just like we say, and only then he realized that it was not a blanket, it was a bear which was swimming in the water. It was coming in the water, you went and caught all of the bear caught you, and you can't escape from the bear's grip. Bear is holding you so tight. Similarly, we are also in the same state. We have gone and made contact with so many things in this world without any understanding the result of all that. And now what has happened? We have got caught in that. That's all holding us back in the same way. Isn't it? So that's what it is saying there. That the any object in this world, the moment you make develop great jnanis, when they meet each other, they don't exchange any conversation even. There is no conversation. Because from their point of view, everything is Brahman, one stage. And secondly, all the transactions are Maya. When all transactions are Maya, when the whole thing what exists is Brahman, where is the question of all this inquiry about the health, about the family and all these things? They don't talk like this. We talk all these things, isn't it? How is the family? How is the children? What's he doing? What's not doing? All these sorts of, we think that for these things are necessary, but jnanis don't think like that. There are many instances, if you read many realized souls, when they met with each other, what happened between them? There was no discussion at all. Because both are in that state. They don't discuss anything. Only when it comes to... There are so many stories about that. We can talk that later sometime. But what I'm saying is that self-realization is a state. When realization happens, then you look upon things in this world as though they are all in relationship with Maya. Maya's activity is more, all of them, isn't it? Vyavaharam, this is the problem with Vyavaharam. If we get too absorbed in this Vyavaharam transactions, then your whole attention gets pulled in that way. And it is not possible after that to reflect on anything. It is impossible to do anything. That is why minimize Vyavaharam, we say. But sometimes due to the Rajoguna inside us, we want to increase this vyavaharam to such an extent, we and we'll find also our own justification in doing that, in doing that thing, and we'll get caught up in that, and then we don't know how to come out of it. This is what happens. I know many people, sannyasis, who had got absorbed like that, and they got completely burned after few years, and then they left and gone. They couldn't, because it got so much into their nature, this whole traveling business, continuously traveling and taking up all the problems of this world on your shoulders. Why is it necessary for that? But it happens. It happens. Because the Rajogunam inside is so strong. That's why it happens like that. So such nature is not conducive for spiritual advancement. That's the most interesting thing. If you observe these things in people, you can see this happening daily, on a daily basis in people's life. They'll go and get caught up in all sorts of things, this project, that project, and so many projects, and then the mind is so restless, and at the end it becomes unbearable, and they can't cope with it, and then they leave and go. So it affects all the sadhana, everything. So sleep is a problem for the yogis. Now, we're coming back to the other side of it. Although in deep sleep all these experiences are happening, sleep is a problem for the yogis, because there is another side of it. There is something inside this sleep which you have to see, which you have to see. Just by sleeping, nobody will become a jnani. That is the most important thing. Just because now deep sleep is always a Brahma stage, Brahma realization stage, doesn't mean that if you have a good deep sleep every day, you're going to become a jnani. That's not said anywhere like that. But all that it's saying is that in the deep sleep, you are having a clear perception of what is happening. So if you keep analyzing this, you can see that deep sleep is a helpful state to understand self-realization. To understand self-realization, it's a helpful state. In Jagrat state and in the dream state, because so many other things are coming and filling it, you can't see it very clearly in the waking state. But deep sleep, we can see very clearly. What is that? I'm not this body. I'm not this mind. I'm not this intelligence. And without all that, I'm experiencing happiness. Is it all that? I'm experiencing happiness. So, that happiness, it gives you a complete fulfillment. That happiness gives you a complete fulfillment. So, and you cannot bring any other happiness in this world equal to that happiness. Equal to that happiness. So, whatever may be, whatever may be the objects they bring in front of you and give it to you, still you will prefer that state where you are not existing. Where you are not existing, but you are existing, but you are not existing as a separate entity from that state, isn't it? From that state, you are not existing as a separate entity. That is why that bodham means avabodham. Avabodham means awareness. It is from there everything is coming. This is a very interesting subject in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. You see, if you study Bhagavad Gita and if you study Srimad Bhagavatam, there are many things which you can't explain in a normal way. I'll give you an example. Universal form in the Bhagavad Gita. How does people understand this? Now, if you ask a devotee, he will say, Krishna has shown this form to Arjuna. And you can see there is about 55 verses in that 11th chapter. Vishwarupa Darshanam, universal form. Actually, it is nothing but Maya. That Vishwarupa Darshanam is Maya. What Krishna has done is, Krishna used the Maya to convince Arjuna what he is. That's all it is. When he heard that 10th chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, if you remember, the 10th chapter is opulences of the absolute, isn't it? It is called Vibhuti Yoga. Vibhuti means Krishna's opulences. Krishna kept talking about all his different opulences. Arjuna heard all that, and at the end of the 10th chapter, if you look, you will see something very interesting. What he says to him, that he says, that the last verse probably, I think it says, if you look into the text 41 in that, it says there, Yadyad vibhudimat sattvam shrimad urjitam evava tatta devavagachattvam mama tejomsha sambhavam. That is an important verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is saying to Arjuna, Arjuna, it's like this. Know that, the translation is, know that all beautiful, glorious and mighty creations spring from food, from but a spark of my splendor. Yadyad vibhudimat sattvam shrimad urjitam evava tatta devavagachattvam mama tejomsha sambhavam. Krishna said like that. Then after that Krishna says, Athavad bahunairena kim yanena tava arjuna vishthabhyam ida krishnam ekam shena stido jagat. Krishna says, what need is there, Arjuna, for all this detailed knowledge? With a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support this entire universe. Says there, isn't it? Saying that, Krishna, more or less in that 10th chapter, most of the philosophy what Krishna wants to say to Arjuna has been spoken. How do you know that? If you take the first verse in the 11th chapter. Arjuna says there, Mohoyam vigado mama, my moham illusion has gone. Arjuna is saying to Krishna. So from there you can see, by end of 10th chapter, most of the things have been spoken, what Krishna had to say to Arjuna. And Arjuna says, my illusion is gone. Which means that you are not under illusion anymore. Up to this time, Krishna, in the earlier verses, you will see Krishna says to Arjuna, you are in illusion. And that is why whole Bhagavad Gita was spoken. But end of 10th chapter, after hearing the 10th chapter, in the 11th chapter, the first verse itself, Arjuna is saying, Madanugrahaya paramam guhyam adhyalmasam idam yatvayoktam vajasthena mohoyam vigado mama. My moham has gone, my illusion is gone. And it is after that Krishna is showing this universal form to Arjuna. Isn't it? This universal form, how do we understand this? It's a big question. Many people have read this universal form and they have explained it also. For us, we just think, anyway, we can't understand it, so we will just leave it. That is the usual way, everything, like so many other things in the Shastram. We don't understand, what do? We just say, leave it behind, don't worry about it. After all, that's not the end of the world. So, the Shastram has got this problem. In all the Shastram, this problem is there. This is one. In the Bhagavadam, you know, at the very end of the 10th canto, this Brahmana in Dwaraka, he had 10 children. Sandana Gopalam story. And Arjuna made this promise to him, to the Brahmana, that I will protect your child, the next one. And don't worry about it, I am Arjuna, and all big talk there, Arjuna's big commitment there. And didn't care for Krishna and didn't care for Balaram. On his own, he'd gone and took the responsibility. And Arjuna got into trouble. And then Krishna wanted to save him. Isn't it? Krishna wanted to save Arjuna. Put him on the chariot and they start driving. And driving goes on and on and on. Loga, loga, parvadam and all that. They cross over and all. So if you read Srimad Bhagavatam, you will start thinking, oh, it must have been a very, very long journey to the spiritual world. Isn't it? Very long journey to the spiritual world. And then there is complete darkness. And then Krishna takes the Sudarshana disc and brings light, illumination, and then they see the route, which way to go. Can you imagine in that darkness, where will you find the route? It's not signposted anywhere, which is the way to... But it's all there in the Bhagavatam. So if you read all these things, you'll start thinking, it must have been a real journey, that one. There is, Krishna is going, Arjuna is going, you don't know where you're going. Krishna is saying, I'll take you somewhere. And how long they have traveled, even that's not mentioned. All it's saying is, you've gone through this, gone through this, gone through this, gone through this. Keeps on saying this. And suddenly, wow, when he got there, Mahavishnu is lying on the snake there. And Adishesha is lying there. And Arjuna saw that, Krishna saw that. And they paid their obeisances. All the children were there. They brought them back. It says like that in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? It's a famous Bhagavatam story. That one of the important stories in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So if you read that story, if you read this universal form, and there are many others like this, when you read all these things in the Shastram, naturally when you haven't got that the subtlety of all these things, immediately you will start thinking in a different way. It is bound to happen inside. Our mind won't allow us to, how to accept all these things. This question will come to everyone. And if it's not properly answered, it will all remain as a mystery. Or we will say, we will find out when we get there. That's the next all thing you can say about it. When we get there, we'll ask Krishna, how did you do that? And so many things in Shastram, people will live like that. But that is the way Puranas are. Puranas are like that. So therefore, to understand the Puranic incidents, we require the help of Upanishads. In the past, learned people, they'll study Upanishads first. And then they will come to Puranam. Puranam is later. To see what is spoken in the Puranam is in line with Upanishads. That was the system. Many, highly qualified scholars in the sense were leading a spiritual life as well as learned in that sense. Not the university people I'm talking about. People who come from that background, who have developed spiritual culture very nicely in them, they would have gone through the Upanishads background very well first. And they have understood the truth. And how the truth is presented in the Puranams, that they will look at it. And they will take a lot of happiness from that, the way it's been presented in the Bhagavatam and the other Puranas as well. So although Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna, why? Because there is so much Upanishad's truths brought into it. That is why Bhagavatam is so important. And to understand the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a, what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says is there, Bhaktya Bhagavatam Grahyam. That only through bhakti you will understand Bhagavatam. But when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says bhakti, he is not talking about the kind of bhakti what we are talking about as bhakti. That also we should know. The bhakti what he is talking about is, through sadhana and through culture of knowledge and devotion, you reach a stage where you are so pure inside that this knowledge starts manifesting from within, because the soul is inside, Krishna is present inside. So that is a completely different way, not by the way we talk about bhakti today. Today we talk about bhakti in a different way completely. We say somebody is a great devotee, is a more advanced devotee, is this, is that, all sorts of things. But that is not Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's way. Similarly, incidents like in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life also, if you look, he fell into the ocean, and in the water you know what happened, that he has lost his consciousness. And this fisherman put the net and brought him in from the water. You know that story in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. When you see that, he was completely unconscious, everything, what was happening. And this fisherman who touched him, he started dancing and he lost all control on himself. And the fisherman's family members came and told that what has happened to this man? He's completely lost control of himself. Why? Because Mahaprabhu is in a realized state going through an experience like that. And when fisherman got into contact with him, he also got the same effect. So next day, because fishermen won't stop dancing, he continuously dancing all the time. Because of this feeling that has happened, the family members comes and says to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what shall we do with him? What should we do? Something, because he is our breadwinner. If you make him dance like this, who is going to bring our food? What's going to happen to us? Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says there, this story is not explained in the same way in the Chaitanya Charitamrita in detail, but there are other books which talks about that. That he says there, that bring him some food cooked in a particular house. He points out that to him. And if you feed him that food, he will come back to normal. So they bring food from a particular house, as mentioned by Mahaprabhu, goes and gets the food from there and gives it to him. And he comes back to his normal state. How did that happen? Because the people in that house, they have acquired wealth in the very wrong means. From their house, if you eat the food, naturally you will come down to Rajogunam, Tamogunam and so and the all the lower qualities of life, base qualities will happen to him. So that was the way how they brought him back to his normal state, we call it. So there are so many things in Shastram, but what we'll do is this chapter 11 of Bhagavad Gita, we'll discuss that on its own, verse by verse. At that time we'll understand it better rather than now talking about it. Yeah. So here it says here, fulfillment has already happened. So Bhuta Vastu Vishayam, he says. Important thing, very difficult to get this point across to people's head. People, as I mentioned so many times before, we have learned one fundamental mistake in our head. Only by doing things I will get something. Isn't it? It's very strongly embedded inside. That is why if you want to create anything new, or if you want to achieve something, you will need karma. You see? Karma is required when you want to get something or you want to achieve something, attain something, you need karma. But for self-realization, karma is not necessary. What is required is knowledge. It is the knowledge that we are missing, not the karma that is missing. We have put all our faith in the karma. And when that karma becomes the priority in life, it is very difficult to develop knowledge in that state. That is why we say, don't go entangle yourself in karma and vyavaharam to such an extent that you can't have any realization of the truth. It is impossible to do that. So, here, there is no need of any karma in understanding Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. There is no karma involved in that. What's happening is there, it's opening up our identity and telling us that this realization has already happened to you. It's already there in us. For our perfection, Purnada, neither the mind, words, body, senses, nothing is required. That is what the conclusion is. That you see that perfection in us, we don't require a body for us to be perfect. In the early days in spiritual life, because we are identifying with the body so strongly, they introduce certain procedures in spiritual life while staying in the body, what you can practice while staying in the body. But as you keep moving up and your understanding is changing, you can't keep giving importance to body anymore. The more you can free yourself from the body and bodily identity, the better you are. The better you are situated. Because sometimes we think like this, that now that I'm having a great time in spiritual life, let me enjoy it to the maximum in spiritual way. But if it becomes a bodily experience, purely enjoying on the bodily level, that is not spiritual experience. Spiritual experience is the more you free yourself from the body, that is spiritual experience. That is the spiritual experience. So, just like the darkness on Amavasi day, that means the new moon day, there is darkness, isn't it? Complete darkness. That darkness and the sun has no connection, isn't it? The darkness is there. When the sun comes, the darkness has to go. Sun has nothing to do with the darkness. Similarly, our perfection in us, that perfection is more important. That means that Purnatum. Purnatum means that the soul on its own is perfect. It has got everything what it needs. And this mind and the body is of no help to it in any way. Is of no help to it. This we have to clearly get clarity in us. That soul doesn't require this body. Soul doesn't require this mind. On its own, it is perfect. It is perfect on its own. And if we keep analyzing this, little by little, you will move away from the platform of the body. You will move away from the platform of the body, and that clarity will happen to us. Clarity will happen. Now we are so absorbed in the body, we can't even imagine how to stay without this body. Isn't it? How to stay without this body. That's why it's important to observe people who are free from the bodily concept of life. But sometimes you observe this. You have to look at it in this way. This is the things what you get from Bhagavatam, not the other things. The stories and all less important. Important thing is this. There was one sannyasi in Vrindavanam long ago. He lived there. he's not there anymore, he's gone. He hasn't had two hands gone, two legs gone. And he was a sannyasi. And he used to sit on that Parikrama Marg long ago. He used to sit there. And sometimes people used to go and ask him, Babaji, how are you? Very happy, he says, the reply. Imagine that. Very two hands are not there, two legs are not there. He's sitting there with this saffron dhoti wearing, with a long beard, with this tilak on, and he's sitting there completely satisfied. Where is this happiness coming from? He says, extremely happy I am, I have no complaints, he said. That is spiritual life. That's spiritual life. We don't understand this. We think that building big buildings and living in that posh life and meeting big meetings with computer, laptop and mobile phones and having meetings, calling this place, that place, making a big show for all these things, this is spiritual life? No, it's not. That is our viharam in this world. Real spiritual life is this. When you see a person without half the body has gone and able to tell us that I am happy in this state, that fulfillment, shanti inside, is the purnatvam of the soul. Because if you are on the spiritual platform, you will be able to say this. That realization is so good that I've lost this part of the body, it has not affected me. I am still complete in myself. That is why, even if you cut a hand off, leg off, you don't say like that, I'm not full now, I'm only 30% full or 80% full. You don't say like that. You still say, I am. I am is I am still, isn't it? That awareness, which is coming from the bodham, consciousness, you are still complete. Isn't it? Even if you have lost the body, parts of the body has gone, still you don't say that I am a different person. I am still I am what I am. That you're still complete in itself, isn't it? In spite of the fact that the body has gone partly and senses have gone, in spite of that, you're still identifying, I am. To show to us that is your completeness of the soul. That's what's coming through at that time. This, if you analyze in your thoughts all the time, you will know that this body is not everything. And this body is not making you complete at all in any way. On the other hand, all the body is doing to you is making you imperfect. It's making you imperfect. The more you free from this body, the more you free from the mind, and more you are able to separate it out from you, from your soul, from the soul, and you start analyzing this all the time regularly, if you keep that in your mind, thoughts, you will notice one day that the body hasn't got a much big role to play in your life. What you think today you have. This is spiritual advancement. Spiritual progress is like that. Freedom from the mind. Freedom from the body. Freedom from the intelligence. Freedom from the ego. Freedom from the senses. And being completely situated on the self. That is spiritual life. Otherwise, it has no meaning. I can't go back to spiritual world with this body. You can't take this with you. So, knowing well here, right now, what are we? What's our connection with this body? Connection with the mind, the intelligence, able to separate it, break it away from us, and being situated in within oneself and one's own identity is self-realization. Is self-realization. This will come only through practice. It won't happen. Knowledge, acquiring knowledge in one level and keeping it is good thing. But if it is not put into practice and constantly in analysis, if you don't bring it in, this attachment to the body should leave us. Somehow or the other, attachment to the body should go from us inside. There are many people who have gone through these states, and it's from their experience they are saying this to us. Let's look into Srimad Bhagavatam. We will not go anywhere else for this. In Srimad Bhagavatam, the best and best example for this is Sudama. Sudama comes to see Krishna. And Sudama's dress, if you see in the Bhagavatam, Kujelam Malinam Kshamam. Dhamani Sandadam. All the veins, because there was so much poverty, there was no proper eating and no proper, totally on a 100% dieting going on. So he had nothing to eat. The whole family was in great poverty from our way of looking at it. And the dress was, that's why he got the name Kuchaila. Sudama is his name, but he, Bhagavatam, he is referred to as Kuchaila. Kuchaila means one whose dhoti is very soiled and it is very, torn and like that. So he comes to see Krishna. And Krishna is asking Sudama, how are you? Sudama says, answer from Sudama, extremely happy I am. Imagine that. He's saying, very, very happy. No complaints. So where is that happiness coming from? That is self-realization. So it's not the body, it's not the clothes, it's not the food that has made Sudama happy. It is Krishna consciousness. In other words, that realization of the self, what he is, he knows. So therefore, there is no complaint from him. And that is what Krishna says here, that so, shoka mohaha. So, as long as we have that, if we don't allow these thoughts to come in, to get inside, we don't identify with the right thing what we are, we will identify with the false thing. That is another problem, isn't it? So, so whatever you identify with, that will create suffering for you. That will create suffering for you. All identification creates suffering. When you drop all identifications, or when you drop so-called identity, you will recognize your real identity, what you are. You see? So all the false identities, what we have accepted in this world, if that stays with us, we will suffer from that. We will suffer from that. It is because it's uncorruptible thing it is, that say identity as the soul. You can't corrupt that. It is that moham, what Arjuna calls it as moham, delusion, isn't it? Mohoyam vigado mama, he says. That moham or delusion is telling us that I am this body. How did this happen? Shastram says we can't ask that question. You are in that state at the moment. That's all it says. So Shruti is telling us, loka buddhi siddham karmani vihidani. All this identity is nothing but a kind of brahmam. Brahma means a kind of delusion in our head. That, so depending on this identity only, we are executing our karma in this world. Isn't it? We identify with body, identify with the mind, and based on that we execute our karma in this world. That's why it says here, loka buddhi siddham karmani vihidani. Loka buddhi it is called. Loka buddhi is what? Identification with the body. So long as you are identifying with the body, loka buddhi is there, siddham karmani, karma will follow from that, vihidani. You have to live through that. So the process is not by fighting with maya, but maya comes, you keep out of it. This is maya actually. Identification with the body itself is maya. Isn't it? See, because it's she who has given us this dress of the body. She has given us this dress. So in order to fight with maya, it's not possible. You can't fight with her. All you can do is to stay away from her. Fighting maya means you will lose it. You can't win the fight over maya. It's not possible. So that's why it said like that, loga buddhi siddham karmani vihidani. So, so everything what you say here, all that has been spoken, that's all there. Just like I mentioned last Saturday, that all these things are there in the Shastram for us. What is that? Karmagandam is there. All the injunctions, how to perform your karma in this world. Brahmachari, Grastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyasam, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. And all kinds of dharmam that is spoken, everything. Those things are given till you reach this state that you are looking for self-realization. Once you have come to that, they all have, you can just put it in the bin. That's finished, its purpose is over. You see? They have created the Shastram in such a way. Smriti, for example. In Smriti, you will find a lot of things you have to follow in this world. How to live a life in this world. Varnashrama, dharmam, everything. Yeah? They were kept in the society for some discipline and balance in the society so that nobody break away from the, otherwise it will become completely a chaos. So therefore they instituted this Varnashrama Dharma system. But the moment you come inquiring about the soul and interested in self-realization, you can put that all that into the dustbin. There is no value to it anymore. That doesn't help you because all of them are related to body. All of them are related to body. It has nothing to do with the soul. Purely on a spiritual platform, if you look at it, neither the varnam nor the ashramam is important. Neither the varnam nor the ashramam is important. If a person is very intensely searching the truth, even if he is a householder, he may become self-realized tomorrow. Another person who has followed all the etiquettes of Varnashrama Dharmam, reached the sannyasa ashram, holding the danda and walk around, he may not realize the truth. So, self-realization is not that it's only attached to sannyasa ashram. There is no such thing mentioned anywhere. It's all what you have to understand is this, the person's maturity, pakvata in him, that is the most important thing. Is the person really ready for taking the spiritual life seriously? If it is there, then it will happen to him at some point or the other. That is the main thing what we are discussing there. Shoka moha di samsara dharma vichitti. So at that stage, when we realize our spiritual identity, what will happen? Shokam moham. That means hankering and lamentation. That will go away. That will go away. Because they are all related to material existence. Material existence. Why does shoga moham happen? Ragadvesham is behind it. Due to attachment, shoga moham comes. Ragadvesham causes shoga moham. Ragadvesham is attachment and aversion. Shoga moham is hankering, and because there is ragam, you will start hankering after something. So that's what from shogam develops from the ragam. And dvesham. Suppose you don't like something, you hate something, therefore dvesham comes, and dvesham develops into shoka moham. Delusion comes from that. So this way it goes on. So wherever you have attraction, there is moham, and wherever there is repulsion, these things have to go. This attraction and repulsion towards everything in this world. So vichitti, atmaivadi vichyanam means that atmatvadi vijnanam, that means identification with the soul. Identification with the soul. That is the purpose. So, there are so many statements in the Upanishads in relationship with that. In relationship with that. wherever in the Upanishads you find this, that you are Brahman, you are a complete vastu, purna vastu. Wherever it is reminding you like that, it is a Mahavakyam. It's a great statement. So, so here, this Mahavakyam, these four things are from four Upanishads taken, the major, more four important ones. Aham Brahmasmi, Tattvamasi, I am Atman Brahma, Prajnanam Brahma. These are four major Mahavakyams. There are many more, but they are not spoken so much as these four, in these four. So, a person who has reached that state, that he is already experiencing that realization of the his identity as the soul. So, in that realized state, what is our existence then? That question will come. So it says, this hankering lamentation, abhimanam. Abhimanam means thinking that I am somebody. It's something imposed upon us due to the association with the maya that has come to us. And it is difficult to take it out from our identity. This abhimanam, who I am somebody, that feeling. And similarly, ajnanam, the ignorance in us. Ignorance is what? We know we are ignorant, isn't it? Although we may not admit it, but we know we are ignorant. Why? The proof is not ignorant of anything. I am thinking that I am this body. That is my ignorance, isn't it? And I am unable to get rid of it from me. So therefore, I have to admit that I am ignorant. So, therefore it says here, shoka moham and this abhimanam ajnanam, then added to that, kartrutva bhoktrutvam, I am the doer and I am the enjoyer, and karmam, actions, then none of them exist in me. In other words, in the spiritual platform, those things don't exist. Means when we are in identification with the soul, All these things do not have any role to play anymore. That is why a self-realized soul, if you observe, he will see that his activities are totally different than us. His activities are totally different than us. So often we looked upon, because we also do not understand the state of consciousness of a person who is realized the truth. We will subject him to our own analysis in our own way. We will start thinking about him in a particular way. Why is he acting like this? Quite often, that's a big problem for us. When we go to see some realized personality, if we want to understand their actions, their activities, it is difficult to understand. Then that is why Purna Shanti, one who has come to that state, complete peace inside, he has no faults in him. He has no faults in him. Just like they give the example in the sky, clouds come, darkness comes, and dust comes. But sky is not affected by any of that. It comes and it goes, isn't it? Similarly, because they are situated in that pure consciousness, of the state of pure consciousness, none of these things like ragadvesham, attachment aversion, hankering lamentation, all these things cannot touch that soul, that person. Because he is situated on the platform of the soul, exactly like the sky, the dust comes, sometimes when there is a very strong wind, there is full of dust, or there is a lot of clouds come, and they cover the sky. But actually they can't do anything with the sky. Sky means space. Space remains as it is. After a while they go, and the space remains pure. In the same way, the soul also, in the same way, although these things are coming and going, soul is unaffected. And the jnanis are those people who are in that platform of the soul all the time. Whereas people like us, who are always affected by all these things, shadurmi they call it, that means this hungering, lamentation, hunger, thirst, old age, disease, all these things disturbs us, isn't it? As soon as we will study books, and then what happens? When we get sick, everything is gone. All this knowledge what we have got from the Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, it's gone. There immediately you go to the best doctor where it's available. Get out of it as quickly as possible. Why? For you, at that moment, for me also, at that point the body is more important, not the soul. Is it not? So you can see there that realization is not there. All that what we have got is this theoretical knowledge. That's why Krishna says there, in the Bhagavatam you will see this, Krishna says you have to take your attention from the body. Only when we experience these things, situations like this, when we get sick, when we get distress comes in life, that is the acid test for your spiritual realization. That is the acid test for how spiritually you are, realize the truth. Sometimes Kunti Devi asks this question to Krishna, isn't it? Keep giving me distress. Because she knows that it's only then she knows where she stands spiritually. Otherwise, when everything is going fantastic, all things are wonderful in this world, where is the spiritual advancement there? That's not possible. So therefore, these situations, like what we experience in the different disturbances in life, and distresses in life, when it comes, how, if the mind is still moving, chalanam happens inside the mind, then you can see that there's a long way to go still to come to that state. So that is why he says here, so just like the sky does not get disturbed by the clouds and the dust and everything, similarly the soul also has to learn, has to be in that state. It's like that, but neither the activities of this body, bodily activities, or the chittavritti of the mind, that's what two things, isn't it? Body is busy with activities. The mind is absorbed in chittavritti, thoughts coming through. So, or that means the gross body, we have three bodies, as you know. Gross body, subtle body, and causal body. Stula shariram, sushma shariram, karana shariram, it's called. And we also have the jagrat, sapnam, sushupti, three states. Satvam, ramasa, tamasa, three states. So, out of these three bodies, the gross body is busy with action, karmam, is busy with karmam. The mind is absorbed in chittavritti. And the karana shariram or the causal body is absorbed in the sleep. isn't it? Sleep or avidya. Avidya means ignorance. The dominant quality of that the deep sleep state is avidya. Avidya is covering everything. Avidya is covering everything. So, so he says here that none of them in any of this state touches the soul. It's all happening there, but it's not touching the soul. Krishna says in the Bhagavadam that drishtim dadapada nivarti nivarta trishna. The only solution, remember last Sunday also we talked about this, in that Hamsagidam, which is in the 13th chapter in the Ekadasha Skandam, Krishna says there that if you want to come out of this, there's only one way you can do that. Drishtim dada pratinivritti. Take your attention away from all these things. There's no other way. If your attention is all in this world, all in this body, all in the mind, all in senses, sense enjoyment, it is not possible to move on to the platform of the soul. So, jnanis generally what they do is that they leave complete attention from this world. They leave it, let it go its own. They move all the attention to the soul. That's what Krishna says there. Drishtim dada prada nivritti nivritta tishna tushnim bhaved sukha bhavanu bhavo niriha. Nija sukhanu bhavo niriha. Krishna says that drishtim dada prada nivritti. In order to get free from this, take your attention away from it, from this world, number one. Pradinivarti. Nivarta Trishna. And in order not to fall into that state again, free from desires, from the enjoying things. And what else is it? Tushnim Bhaved. Whatever objects we are not in this world, take your attention away from that. It is a very different philosophy what Krishna is talking to us. You see, normally we will see objects in this world. For example, a nice car, a nice house, or so many nice objects in this world which you are attracted to, isn't it? So long as you are seeing them, you have attachment for them. If you have not seen them, you have no attachment for them. So, the attention should be on the person who is seeing rather than the object what you are seeing. The attachment has come because you are giving importance to the object what you are seeing. If you give importance to the person who is seeing, the person who is the seer, then what is seen, then your attachment will go. That is what Krishna is saying there. Drishtim dada pratinivritti nivritta trishna tushnim bhaved nija sukha anubhavo niriha. Nijasugham. Nijasugham means a false. It's all false. That is the point Krishna is making. That all these objects in this world, what we consider as so important, Krishna is saying it is all false. It's all false. Maya. It is Maya. There's no question about that. It's all. That is why those who want to move on the path of spiritual life, you shouldn't be too concerned about all the things in this world. That is not of any importance to you anymore. So serious about the spiritual life. So he says here that, and the attention should go to Swarupam, whatever real identity. Many people will find difficult to do this. Brahmavicharam. It's called Brahmavicharam. Brahmavicharam means pulling out of the world. Because the world is existing only because I am existing. If I am not existing, the world is not existing. Isn't it? Because I am there to see the world, therefore, the world is important for me. If I am not there, where is the importance of this world? This is where we and Vedantam and science won't agree. Science is after this, the world what they are seeing. But it is such a simple thing, but this shift in the position between Vedantam and science is very huge. This difference that it makes. Science is telling us, inquire and everything in this world and find out what is the truth. Vedantam is telling us, don't inquire about anything, find out who is inquiring and that is the truth. You realize the truth then. That's the Vedantam way. Vedantam way is like that. That don't inquire about anything in this world. They are not important. They are there only because you are there. If you are not there, that's not there. For example, there are many, many planets in this creation. Many universes even. We don't know anything about it. We don't know anything about it. If the scientist gives us some photos and says it's existing there, what difference it makes to me? If the scientists, oh, this is a new galaxy we have found out tomorrow, and they produce a huge map of it in the newspaper, will it make any difference to me or to you for that matter? So this is the mistake they are making. That is why sages are telling us, don't go with what you are seeing, go with what you are. Inquire there. There the inquiry must go. It's a very small gap that is. How this has happened, I don't know. But that is how the science has gone. And they go on and on and on and on about it with all their development work and the, you know, that thing that in Australia they built, that God particle. They wanted to bombard certain particles and create a situation, and from that they want to develop the theory of how the creation has happened. Vedantam doesn't agree with any of these things. Vedantam is saying to us, all the sages tells us this thing, what you see in this world, they are not important. Who is seeing it, that is important. So, as long as you ask this question, who is seeing, this world will disappear from you. Immediately it will disappear. You will become more inward looking, in other words. This is how that inward looking process starts. That you start asking this question, who wants to know this? Who is inquiring? Who is looking at it? Immediately you know the person is who is inquiring is more important, not what the matter, object you are searching after. That is why Krishna is saying, drishtim dada prati nivritti nivritta trishna tushnim bhaved nija sukha anubhavo niriha. That all of this is nijam, it's false, it is lie, complete lie this is, the creation. But if you say this to a new person, straight away, he will not accept it. It is difficult for them to accept that. For them, this is the only truth they know. They haven't thought about the soul, they haven't understood about somebody seeing from inside. That's why in the Bhagavad Gita, there is one interesting thing to note. Krishna says there, for your spiritual advancement, you need nothing. You need nothing actually. You don't need any temples and nothing. All you require is this understanding. That inside me, he is there. Who? That truth is there. You remember that verse? There is a verse in the Bhagavad Gita which is a very important verse. Everybody is very conscious of that verse. It says there, Aham, what is that verse? Actually, one second. Verse 20. Aham Alma Gudakesha Sarva Bhudashaya Sthita. Aham 10:20. Aham Adyascha Madhyamcha Bhutanam Andayevacha. Finished. Spiritual life is over there. That's all we have to know. What is that? Aham Alma Gudakesha. Krishna is saying, I am the soul of everyone. Aham Alma Gudakesha. And Sarva Bhudashaya Sthita. And I am present in everybody, in everyone. Then, Aham Adischa Madhyamcha Bhudanam Andayevacha. I am the beginning, I am the end, I am the middle. I am the Self, O Gudakesha, situated in the hearts of all creatures. I am the beginning, the middle, and the end of all beings. So, that's it. This whole spiritual life is summarized in one verse. If this knowledge is taken on board, completely understood, Krishna says, if you do that, if you take it, and if you chant the holy name along with that, all your spiritual life is finished there. There ends everything. And that realization, that is why Krishna says, little later, yajnanam jabayajnyosmi. Remember? That verse, yajnanam jabayajnyosmi, he says. 25. If you look. Maharshinam briguraham giram asyegam aksharam Yajnanam jabayajnyosmi stavaranam himalayaham. Krishna says, of the great sages I am Bhrigu. Of vibrations I am the transcendental Om. Of sacrifices I am chanting of the holy name Japa. And of immovable things I am the Himalayas. That's it. If we keep these two things together, that means this verse 20 and 25, all other things what in that chapter where Krishna says I am Bhrigu among the sages, all the Maharshis, I am Bhrigu. And of vibrations, I am Om. Of sacrifices, of all the sacrifices, I am chanting the holy name. So just by chanting the holy name and being constant awareness of Krishna's presence inside, that will take us to self-realization. That is the important message in that 10th chapter. Of all the opulences Krishna talks about there, this one particular opulence, which is verse 20, is the most important opulence. Other opulences you can look at there. He says there so many things that when Arjuna asks the question, he says there that adityanam aham purodashancha mukhyam mam vidhi partha bhaspadim senaninam aham skanda sarvasam sarasamasmi sagara maharshinam bhruguraham giram asmegam aksharam yajnanam javayajnyosmi stavaranam himalaya. Krishna goes on and on and on, many things. In other words, wherever you find something extraordinary, a splendor, Krishna says, I am that. It's from me coming everything. Mamai tejomsha sambhavam. Krishna says that. But this one opulence, what is that? Aham Atma Gudakesha is the greatest opulence of all. In all of us, Krishna's presence as the soul. Aham Atma Gudakesha Sarva Bhudashayastida. In all living entities. Aham Adischa Madhyamcha Bhudanam Antam Evacha. Beginning, middle and end of everything is me. It's me who is present everything. So, thinking in that way, if you talk about that, you can see in spiritual life what involves is very little. It's not action that will make any change. This is the position what we are in. Krishna wants us to take that seriously. That is spiritual life is all about. So, that is why, Atmatvadi Jnanam. So, what will happen is, whatever Krishna has spoken here, that he says, Sandrishyade kocha yadidam avastu buddhya, tektam bhavayana bhave smriti anipatad. This is Krishna's words to Uddhava. Krishna is saying to Uddhava, Sandrishyade kocha yadidam avastu buddhya. Seeing everything in this world as avastu. Avastu means what is not real. What's not real? Avastu buddhi means seeing them as they are. Just because it exists there doesn't mean it's real. Something, say for example, this table exists. Doesn't mean it's real. It's only real when I am there to see it. Otherwise, it's not real to me. Just like anything else in the creation. Krishna says you should reject every one of these things in the same way. They are not real to you. The real thing is only you who is inside that. Samdrishyade kochayadidam avastu buddhya tektam bhavaya na bhavel smriti anipadal. If you keep rejecting this in the tektam bhavaya, na bhave smriti anipadal. When you keep on rejecting everything like this in this way, you will come to understand what you are. And that smriti, that memory of your real identity, who you are, smriti will come back to you, who you are. Otherwise, it won't come back. How we are caught up in the world, that's what Krishna is saying. We are caught up in this world because we have gone and caught hold of so many things in this world. And saying, this is mine, this is my house, this is my car, this is my that. So everything is mine, mine, mine. We have stacked up one after the other within ourselves. And at the time of death, what happens? All these things, they leave us and go. Or we are forced to leave them and go. And at that time we cry, oh, I have to leave all these things, what I worked so hard for that, and accumulate, everything has to go. But Krishna is saying, that is the ignorance in, this is called avidya. Avidya is this. So, realized soul, they don't have anything to possess in this world. Isn't it? If you look into great personalities, great, great souls, you will see they had nothing to possess of their own. They never kept anything for themselves as it is. So, that's what Krishna says in that verse. Drishtim dada pradinivirti nivirta trishna tushnim bhaven nijasukhanu bhavo niriha samdrishyade kocham yadidam avastu buddhyam tektam bhavaya nas bhaved smriti anipadad. That smriti of the reality or the truth will naturally will come forth from inside. From this you can see, from Krishna's statement alone, that it is not by your very great effort in sadhana that truth is going to come. This we are talking about jnani now. A jnani situation, what Krishna is discussing. Bhagavadam is a jnana grandham. It's a book with knowledge as well, along with bhakti. Jnanam and bhakti combined, discussed in the Bhagavadam. So, Jnanam helps you to understand in this process, through this process, able to free yourself from the bondage, what we have got. So that is what Krishna is explaining here. Now in the case of a devotee, what happens? A devotee's approach is different because devotee finds this process difficult. He finds it very hard. And in that situation, devotee has only one choice, to hand over everything to Krishna. He has to give everything to Krishna. Otherwise it will not work. So surrender is the key to bhakti. That's what Krishna says here. So either way, realization can come. When you surrender everything, one day Krishna will reveal this knowledge to us from inside. He will do that. So, nija sukhanu bhavo niriha. So, that sukham or happiness, what you will experience from the soul, this you cannot impose it from outside. It has to come from inside. That knowledge which will culture this is called Atmavidya. Or the Brahmavidya it is called. So, the usual ignorance in us, which is, I am this body, I am this mind, I am this intelligence, removing that from inside and bringing the knowledge of what we are, our pure identity as the soul, that is called Brahmavidya. So that means it has two things. First thing, it has to remove this ignorance from inside. And secondly, it has to show to us what our real identity is. That is how the spiritual process works. So Siddhatvad, Krishna says there. Then Prahlada says that, isn't it? Siddhatvad is already there within us. And nothing further to be inquired. So that experience, if you keep on giving attention to that, then the duty of the spiritual master is that, to take you to that state. In the case of a jnani process, the guru's responsibility is that, to take you to that state, to take your attention to that point. And if that cannot be done straight away, as a upasana or as a sadhana, it is given to him. Follow this process and continuously reflect on that. By chanting the holy name also, eventually you will lose this attention to the matter, attention to the body and the material objects. You will become more and more, when it becomes, the chittavritti comes off first, and after chittavritti goes away, then the attachment to various material objects also will go away from inside, and the purity happens. And when that purity happens, this inquiry will starts coming up inside. Who is this person who is chanting? That's how that takes you to that point at that time. Up to that point, you won't ask that question till that purity has happened inside. You will keep on chanting. While chanting, what happens in the stage by stage? We keep calling it as anarthanavritti and all that. What is this anartham? Anartham is all this. I am this body, I am this mind, I am this intelligence, all this. But as you keep chanting, and that should be done, there is no question of staying away from that because all these things are there in the books. I am not following that. No, sadhana bhakti is like that. Sadhana has to be performed. While chanting the process, it should be supplemented with this knowledge of the Upanishads. Then that chanting process will become very effective very quickly. Because knowledge is driving it properly. Without proper knowledge, if you simply chant all the time, it will have its effect, no doubt about it, but it will take time in the sense that over a period of time, if you are chanting, you will see either you will lose interest and you will leave it, or if you had some realizations, you will continue doing it. But very difficult to keep on doing it under instructions from someone throughout life. That's not possible. Somebody can instruct you in the beginning to do something, but based on the instructions to do it the rest of the life is very difficult, because after a while the mind will tell you this is all bogus. That's what the mind does. But before that happens, we have to push this understanding properly inside. What are we chanting for? What's going to happen by chanting? By chanting, what's happening is this misunderstanding will go away one after the other. I'm not this body, I'm not this mind, I'm not this intelligence. And all the attraction to the material life also will go away from inside. It's no attraction. It is then that this question starts popping up inside. Who is chanting? Who is this person who is chanting? What is he chanting for? So what who is chanting, that question will come. Till you reach that state, you can't say that your inquiry has begun really. Your real inquiry has begun at that stage. The who is it? Who am I? That question is coming from that. And that is why it's mentioned here. So that then the question will come, who am I? And at the same time, who is this? What is this experience I have? That, and what is the nature of that experience of the soul? All these inward questions will only develop at that point. Otherwise, it is not going to happen. So you may not have to answer all that question straight away. Let the question come. So that is the process of this thought process. Thought process is like that. Thought process is like that. So naturally, in order to go in this direction, if we increase our material activities a lot, then it is a hindrance for that. What's minimum necessary, we have to do it in this world. Keep it to the very minimum. To maintain this body, what's necessary, we have to do. But apart from that, if it becomes a global affair, our maintaining this body, then it is very difficult. Because that is how life is today. We have to be very careful about this. Because the modern world is pushing people that in the name of making a living, is traveling from Los Angeles to Sydney, to Beijing, to Durban. Like this, people are running around all over the world. Businessmen traveling at such high speeds in their life. And you stand for a moment and look at them and see, what are they running this for? What is it that's giving them their happiness? If you ask them, they don't know themselves what they're running for. Isn't it? And all it develops into depression and lot of problems in life later, and then it is too late. We have got only a very short span of life in which if we have to inquire something genuine and something seriously, then this is the only opportunity we have got in spiritual life. So that is why Krishna says there that this Shraddha, this is called Shraddha. Shraddha is this, that able to look at this world and stand away from the world and think about yourself. What is this I am doing here in this world? Not that everything what the world tells you keep on doing to please the world. You'll never get pleased this world. It's not possible. So Shraddha, what Krishna refers to in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, is this. That in Viveka Churamani and all that, Shraddha has a different, in a little different way it is defined. But there also, these concepts are very important. These concepts are very important. So, once that Shraddha develops, Krishna says, everything becomes a lot easier. Everything becomes a lot easier. So, again and again, aham aham, that's inquiry inside. So, just like you observe in a laboratory when you're conducting an experiment, in the same way, inside this laboratory called body, we are searching for ourselves. Inside this. Isn't it? Little by little, the intelligence also will come to our help if we follow in that process. That is that intelligence will tell you that all the time you are aware of your existence. I am existing. And that doesn't go away in all the three states. When you come back, it's there, whether the body, part body has gone, even the mind also has some problem, still my existence has not gone. It's always existing. That will point out to that. Krishna says that in the Bhagavad Gita, if you look into the 17th chapter, there is a verse there about that. It's a verse which Krishna is again reminding Arjuna. Arjuna, these things will only happen if Shraddha is there. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. So, if you look into verse, third verse, I think, in the 17th chapter, Satvan Ruba Sarvasya Shraddha Bhavadi Bharada Shraddha Mayoyam Purusho Yoyak Shraddhasa Evasa. That's the verse. Krishna says, Satvan Ruba Sarvasya Satvan Ruba Sarvasya Shraddha Bhavadi Bharada. How Shraddha will come to a person? Look into the translation also. Krishna says, according to one's existence, under the various modes of nature, one evolves a particular kind of faith. Particular kind of faith. The living being is said to be of a particular faith according to the modes he has acquired. You see? So, Shraddhamayoyam Purusha. And Yosek Shraddhasa Evasa. Now, this is based on the divisions of faith. Krishna is talking about the divisions of faith. That means, Sattvam, Rajasa, Tamasa, three modes. In the three modes, our Shraddha changes accordingly, isn't it? What is Shraddha in Sattugunam? What is Shraddha in Rajogunam? What is Shraddha in Tamogunam? This is interesting things to, as I mentioned before, this 16th, 17th, 18th chapter, they are called Khilam chapters. That means, by 15th chapter, Bhagavad Gita is over. Strictly speaking, by 10th chapter, it's over. I again keep saying, why I'm saying like that is, by 10th chapter, all the philosophy has been spoken. Because 11th chapter begins, Arjuna is asking this, my moham illusion is gone. But then Krishna had to show him the universal form, because after hearing about it in the 10th chapter, he wanted to see it. That's why 11th chapter came. 11th chapter came. Then Krishna, Arjuna expressed his difficulty in seeing this universal form. He could not make head and tail of it after seeing the universal form. Everything what he wanted to see was there in the universal form. That's the most interesting thing. It's not that some form Krishna has shown Arjuna. What Arjuna wanted to see, according to his vasana inside, whatever that vasana was demanding, that was all in the universal form. Did you notice that? If you read universal form, you will see everything Arjuna had in his head, it was all there in the universal form. Why is it like that? Normally, when you say universal form means what? The whole creation, isn't it? Universe. That's what Arjuna should see. But Arjuna shouldn't see, didn't see that. Whatever he was thinking and in his head what was happening, it was all coming in the universal form. And that's what frightened him when he saw that. He saw Bhishma there, Drona there, and all Karna there, and all the Kauravas there who were ready to fight the war. He was seeing them in the universal form. And he also saw all the Pandavas also there. In that. And what he saw there, if you look at the picture what the devotees have made that in the Bhagavad Gita, you'll see they are all going into Krishna's mouth, going in, inside. Yeah. Actually, that 11th chapter is completely yogam, it is. It's a yoga mandalam, it is. That's how it is referred to. Vishwarupa Darshanam is a yoga mandalam. It's a yoga system, it is. We'll discuss when you come to that. But what I'm saying is that he saw these things happening and Arjuna was in such a shock. He started thinking, is the war over now? They've all gone inside, into Krishna's mouth. Everything was going inside. It was an indication to Arjuna, from Krishna, that this is the result, what is going to come. This is before the war, all this was shown, isn't it? So then and there Arjuna realizes that this power of that bodham, awareness, Krishna who is standing there, is that source from where everything has come, everything goes back to that same person in the same way. So that is why it said here that according to the modes you are in, you will see things different. A person who is in Sattugunam, he will have that natural thoughtfulness in him or natural inclination in him to inquire about the details of the Shastram, to find out what is going on. What the Shastram is telling us? A surrendered attitude to the absolute truth, always. That Krishna is conducting the business. Krishna is doing everything in this world. Why should I worry about it? It's not my concern. Krishna is running this show. I've not been sent here to maintain this world. It has been maintained by Krishna's arrangement. Who was created will maintain it. And when he wants it, he will take it away also. Destruction also will happen. This is Sattvagunam way of thinking. Rajogunam is what? Rajogunam will thinking, whole thing is on my shoulder. I have to make sure that everybody acts properly and everyone is listening to me or everyone should do what I tell them to do. In this way, the mind will work. This is the nature of the Rajogunam. Rajogunam demands that. Tamogunam will say to you, there's nothing I can do about it. I'm helpless. I have a hopeless situation. Alasyam, Nidra, Ajnanam. All these are the qualities associated with Tamogunam, isn't it? So Krishna is saying here, Shraddhamayoyam, he says in that verse, Shraddhamayoyam Purusho. It is his Shraddha, what kind of Shraddha he has got, accordingly he will capture the message also. If the Shraddha is in Sattugunam, then the chances he will get the message better. He will get it better. And Yoyak Shraddhasa Evasa, therefore Shraddha is important. He says here. So, Sattvani Rupa Sarvasya Shraddha Bhavati Bharata Shraddha Mayoyam Purusho Yojak Shraddhasa Evasa. Shraddha is important. Krishna has spoken in that verse in the Bhagavad Gita. So, saying that, we saying here that the person whose Shraddha is good, his Shraddha will be here, inside here. What's happening there? All the Shraddha will be focused on the soul. What's happening? Because it is centered around the soul, everything is happening in the body. Isn't it? Everything is happening in the body centered around the soul. So, taking the attention from the sense objects and taking into the soul or consciousness that you are no more engaged with the matter, or in other words, you have started moving towards the source. Moving towards the source. All these things has to be done as early as possible in life. The earlier we do it, the better. It gets more difficult when the body, we come under the grip of the body too much, then it gets very difficult to do it. So when the body is in a good shape, mind is in a good shape, if these thoughts can get in and control our life, then Krishna is saying here that the Shraddha is nothing but a fuel to help in this direction. It is just the fuel. So if you allow that Shraddha to go outside, and if it gets scattered everywhere, it becomes the mind. That's the mind we are talking about. When that Shraddha, what we have inside, which is able to look inwards and start analyzing things inside, where all this is, this is that finer and subtle way of knowing Shastram. How to go in the Shastric way of thinking. It's like that. That you go inward, looking, thinking about the soul, soul's presence inside, and the soul's control on everything what we are doing everyday life, and little by little seeing the insignificance of this body, of the mind, intelligence, and senses, sense objects, everything, and we become more and more focused on the soul. And that is what is called Shraddha. But if you allow that Shraddha to go out, and it gets scattered on all the objects and all things in this world, and if it gets attracted there, and it becomes the mind. That is what the difference there. This is how the mind takes the birth. Mind takes the birth. When the, or in other words, you can say, when the mind becomes condensed and concentrated, it becomes Shraddha. Both ways. Shraddha goes out and start gets absorbed in the world and the activities of this world and conducts a lot of vyavaharam in this world, then it becomes the mind. Mind becomes very strong. If the mind condenses and becomes very concentrated and go inward looking for the soul and becomes busy with the soul, it becomes Shraddha. It becomes Shraddha. When Shraddha is scattered, it goes into various topics, isn't it? Various topics. You know, so many subjects, newspapers. Everything is not favorable to us now, isn't it? News is such an important thing. We have to know everything what's going on in all the rest of the world. Otherwise, there's something missing in our life. As soon as you get up nowadays, you'll see all the big cities, particularly, newspaper is delivered, isn't it? There's already the source, television is at home, the radio is there. And then the internet is there. These three is not sufficient. Then the news comes to the newspaper as well. It's bombarding you with this. And you start thinking that it is a must for me to have the news. If I don't have the news, I'm missing something in life. And it's become the habit naturally. And then after a while, just like talked about the man with the bear, we can't leave it without that. We can't leave it even if you want it. When you know it, it's useless all at the end. Whether Mubarak stayed or Mubarak left, what difference it makes to me or to you? But it is important news for us for the day, isn't it? The same thing. This is the way the mind works. This is our scattered Shraddha that has gone. For spiritual life and self-realization, you can see how much we should be focused on the truth, on the soul. Otherwise, it is impossible to if you allow the mind to get in with all sides of things, and it keeps creating Chitavrati inside, then naturally there can't be any attention or Shraddha onto the soul. This is how one has to accept that. So, So newspapers, as you can see, when you read, there's a lot of discussions about various things, and and most of it is politicians talking about politics to each other. One will say, he said like this, the other one will say, he said like that, he's right, I'm wrong, or I'm right, he's wrong. So many kinds of things. And they are the important people in the newspaper. You know, all the other habits you can give up, but this news business is very difficult to give up, isn't it? We think it is not doing any damage to us, but it does a lot of damage. If you understand how it does the damage. The newspapers, as you noticed, they are very good in creating conflicts, isn't it? They will always throw at you various ragadvesham from this world. Suppose two brothers are living together nicely. Will any newspaper report that? Have you seen? But if they are fighting, it will be the headlines next day. Why is it like that? Because the taste is like that. Ragadvesham, we have the taste for that. Suppose a few brothers living together happily, all together without any arguments, quarrel, fight each other, all sharing well, and not causing any problem to each other. Have you seen any newspaper reporting that news? No. Nobody will report that. It's not a news. But if there is a court case going on between the father and the son, especially if it's happening in a very rich family, it'll be all over. He has got this affair with that lady has got this affair with this man. Like this, they will continuously blast the world. Why? How does that happen? What does the effect it has got on us? That is what's more important. So that is why it said here, so if anyone is living happily together, it will not be reported. But if anyone is fighting each other, it will be reported. Similarly, if somebody is living in this world, it won't be reported. But somebody gets in an accident or death, it will be immediately reported to you. It will be told, this happened in such and such a place, murder happened or this happened. So, news is always, living is not the news, dying is the news. When you die, it's a news for you, isn't it? So, only if you die, it will become a news. If you live, it's not a news for anybody. So, what is happening is, if you get sick, it's a news. So-and-so is sick. It's a news. If you're staying healthy, it's not a news anymore. If somebody is staying healthy. Say, for example, Prime Minister or anybody, some top political leaders, if they get sick for a day or two, it'll be the next day paper. Slightly indisposed, they'll say in which hospital he has gone, who is treating him. Then it'll make you think, what's happening with him? What's wrong with him? So many doubts it'll create inside. Chittavritti will be developed very strongly. Inside. All big people, isn't it? When they, especially among politics and also in business also, it is like that. That they are always keeping an eye on the competition. And if they know some, recently example I'll give you, this Apple computer and the person who has, I forget the name, Steve somebody. So, you see, because he had got sick, the share values have dropped, Apple's. This is how the world is. Imagine that. That this is how closely connected newspaper does this job. Share values have gone down because he got sick, he had cancer or something like that was reported in the paper. So important thing is that when he was in healthy, he was not saying so much. But when he, as soon as he got sick, the whole world should know that he's sick. Why is it like that? That is a vasana inside. That's what the newspaper is doing to us. So all these kind of impact that creates in us, continuously we'll read that, think about that, and become excited about it and allow the mind to get affected by that. And which means that we'll fall into avidya more and more. More and more into avidya. And what is that avidya? We keep calling it as avidya, isn't it? Avidya means that what does not exist actually, does not exist, accepting that it exists. That is avidya. You see, body has no existence. From the Vedantam point of view, this body has no existence. It's only a gross manifestation of the prarabdha karma. That is this body. That's not what we are. But if you give too much importance to it, and if you keep on talking about it in the newspaper through this kind of examples, and you keep reading them, it does sense a lot of thought waves inside. Sometimes what happens is, say a person of your own age got sick and he has been taken to hospital. Say it is diabetes or cancer or something. What do we do next thing? We go for a checkup straight away. And then we'll go to one doctor and he says, no, there's nothing wrong with you. Then you'll go to a second opinion, as they call it, go to another one, isn't it? And then, till somebody says you have got it, you're not feeling, you're not happy. They have to tell you that you have got it. Because that's what inside is demanding. Because yes, got it, I may be having it, who knows. How do you know I don't have it? If you keep asking this question, eventually one doctor will tell you, yes, you got it. Some test he will do, by then he'll conduct so many tests through you. And this is how that chittavritti develops. I'm not talking about the disease now. Disease is not the important thing. Important thing is the subtle effect it has on you, on your spiritual nature, on the mind, and how it's driving you to madness and increases the chittavritti, and that is what is distracting you in your spiritual life. Whereas advanced souls, they do not give that much importance to the body. If it happens to the body, they will, within their reason, they will try to fix it if it can be done. But if it cannot be done, they will accept this as prarabdham and able to leave it at that point, not to take it further than that. That's the way it is. So, more our attention go into the objects outside, and immediately we will start accepting that they are all reality in this world. All the objects outside, there are many people outside. And when you say there are many people, you will start discriminating. Some people are good people, some people are bad people. This will naturally come, isn't it? And only in that way you can conduct your vyavaharam in this world. In order to do vyavaharam in this world, you have to separate out people. Some people you deal with them in a nice way, because they are people whom you can work with. Some other people who are not easy to deal with, you deal with them in a different way. So what happened to you at that time? You have already separated them. That means you have fallen down. You have fallen down, not they. Why? Krishna says there, the vastu is the same in both. But due to vyavaharam, you have to separate them out as good and bad. Once you have separated good and bad, you have fallen down. Parasvabhava karmani ya prashamsadi ya nindadi sa ashubhrashyade swarthal asatyam abhiniveshada. Krishna's words to Uddhava. Krishna says to Uddhava, any person, parasvabhava karmani, another person's svabhavam or karma, one who is glorifying it or one who is condemning it, prashamsadi ya nindadi, or speaks bad about it, sa ashubhrashyade, he is already fallen. Swarthal asatyam abhiniveshada, because in reality they are both false. The persons who you are dealing with, they are both false. Swarthada asatyam abhiniveshada, because you are holding on to asatyam, the falsity of that, and that you are exerting inside in your mind and getting absorbed in that. So that's why he say like that. So he says here, without ragadvesham it is not possible to conduct vyavaharam. Isn't it? The moment you get into vyavaharam, ragadvesham will come. Ragadvesham will come. So, therefore, it becomes very poisonous to the mind. This vyavaharam will, it reflects your, it gets drained up. All your energy will go in that direction. So, when you go into the world outside and mix with all kinds of people, many objects, and you see them, and when you hear about them, and whatever problems are there, that will all come inside, and that will establish that I am existing, the world is existing. You will come to that understanding, and also you will start thinking, the third thing is that there is a connection between me and the world. As from the spiritual point of view, practically there is no connection with you and this world. The connection here is that you got a gross body and the body is here. That's all the connection is with this world, isn't it? But when you get into vyavaharam, and when there is ragadvesham coming from that, it will expand. That world will expand, attachment. And it will develop in such a way that the fineness part of it, what Krishna says here, is impossible to touch that point. So, from this relationship in vyavaharam, a lot of falsity comes. That is called falsity. That comes from that. And many tripudi, and it will create a situation where we will completely forget our swarupam, our identity. So, you can see this sometimes when you go to certain places. You go to the temples with an intention that you want to take away this world from inside and want to be a little bit more inward looking. That's why we go to the temple. We're not going to the temple to see a museum or a kind of a display what's going on there. That's not the purpose of going to the temple. The purpose of going to the temple is that at least there, freedom from the world outside and little bit inward looking, reflective nature to develop, isn't it? But sometimes what happens is, as soon as you get into the temple, there's so many other activities centered around that, that you, when you come out from that, you are in a worse situation than when you've gone in. This happens. Often it happens like that. In some temples, they have developed a fine art out of it. You go into the deity room and you come out, they set up the walk outside in such a way that you are forced to look at all the shopping things what they've got there to sell. Sweets, books, then all kinds of paraphernalia. And they'll convince you that you need all this for your spiritual life. So by the time you come out, at least you should be able to spend some money for that. Krishna is saying, for your spiritual realization only use these two things. One, this verse, Aham alpa gudagesha sarabhudashaya sthida Aham adhyancha madhyancha bhudana mandamevacha. If you understand that, and jnanam jabayat nyosmi. If you chant the holy name. So why we make it so complicated? If temples start doing this, how do you justify it? How do we justify it? That shows that there is something missing there, understanding, isn't it? We come to the temple only with one intention, that how to move out of this matter. We're so much caught up in this world with so many things. But now this is happening everywhere. It's not only one place. All big temples are big shopping malls now. All around. All around, there is so much shopping going on. And it is a new development. It's a new development. In the last few 30, 40 years, this has happened. Otherwise, you go to many of the older temples in the past, there was nothing there. There was no shops, there was no business activity and anything around the temples. They were quiet places where there was only spiritual life happened. Spiritual life happened. So even the temples have become like that. If we have a festival, it's a mela now. Isn't it? What is it, God? Where is the spiritual life in all these things? This is the question we have to ask. And then if you ask the question, there's a we need money for to do all this. Then how do you justify all these things? Where is the spirituality, the spiritual thing, what for we are struggling hard to come out of all these things, and the temple is loading all these things on your head. So there you are stuck again, isn't it? You're stuck again. So this is the point what Krishna is saying, that drishtim dada pradinivritti nivritya trishna. That drishti must not fall onto such things, whichever is creating inside thought waves, chittavritti. And you can see now that in the past, what used to happen was in the temples, there never used to have festivals which attracted the attention. There was not much of a merchandise. Selling, buying things didn't happen. Generally, temples provided prasadam, it was sufficient. Rest of the time, absorbed in hearing about Krishna or hearing about matters related to Krishna. That is, should be the only business in the temple. There's no other business in the temple. Temple is meant for that. Now what has happened is, temple is a big establishment with the loads of projects, departments, managers, this, that, everything. And they think that that's the way it has to happen. But purpose is lost. Purpose is lost. Every department thinks developing my department is my devotional service or bhakti or whatever we like to call it. And it goes like this, in this way. That means our attention gets scattered and scattered more and more in various directions, isn't it? So that's the important thing. Our attention can get very easily distracted to so many other things. So therefore, that is the nature, that the temples will do such things, that they'll make sure that you forget Krishna when you leave the temple with all their businesses that is set up around the temple. So many things, if you observe clearly, you can see many things happening at the temple. That is the nature of the world. So we have come to the temple to see the deity and to recognizing that he is present inside. Isn't it? Recognize that he is present inside. Because we can't see him inside, we have got the deity. Not that the deity is there because only through the deity we can see him. Because we can't see him inside, he is there too, representing him, Krishna, who is present inside. So, but if we lose all that, and ragadvesham develops, this is good, this is bad, and everything will affect us. And that is what Shruti is talking to. Shruti Vedas are talking to us that because all these problems are happening because you are seeing the world outside, therefore leave the world. That is the solution to the problem. Because you are seeing the world, that's where all these problems are coming, isn't it? Therefore, leave the world to itself. Don't get caught up in that. So then the question is, is that mean that should I go into the forest and live in the cave like the way many ancient times like the yogis did? They went into the caves and stayed there, isn't it? So, but you will notice that if you go and sit down in the caves also, you will notice sometimes these vasanas coming back again. Desires will pop up again to enjoy some way or the other. So, even if you close your eyes down and you tie it with a cloth, still this vasanas inside will give you the trouble. So therefore, Krishna says here that andar bahir samsara tishtadi. So, inside there is material world, inside. Outside there is material world, and he is present everywhere. And the solution to that, Krishna says here, how one can go away from that. And what is sannyasam? And that means the sannyasam, what is required for everybody. You see, sannyasam is not we take danda or somebody gives you sannyas. It has become so official nowadays, these things. Somebody is fast tracked through a sannyas. Somebody is brought through he's not qualified. They are making all these kind of decisions. It is all... Can't say anything more than that because then I'll be told that I'm criticizing. But what are you supposed to do with all these things when people are doing things like this? Isn't it? That sannyasam is not all these things. They have complete misunderstanding of all these things. Jadani munji lunjita kesham kashayambara bahurta vesham. That Ayari Swamiji says, shaving up the hair, lunjita kesham, keeping the shikha, wearing the saffron clothes. Pashyan nabhagrati pashyati vesham. Who knows somebody is taking to sannyasam for filling the belly or not? Who knows that? He's saying, udara nimittam bahugrita vesham. To fill the belly, people do all sorts of things in this world. And sannyasam also can go in that direction. You cannot say that. Because sometimes you'll find sannyasam is not a bad job. Sometimes you can stay as a sannyasi and everything is cared for and lot of things are there in that sannyasam. But Krishna sannyasam is different. What Krishna is talking about sannyasam in the Bhagavatam. So mainly Krishna says there that if your attention has gone away from the world, if you are withdrawn very much inward looking nature, that means vairagyam has come to you. That's what the symptom of that. Vairagyam has come. Renunciation has come. And and at some point in life, if prarabdham is such that material circumstances changes in such a way, it allows you to take to sannyasa ashram. At that point, moving to sannyasam will not do any harm. On the other hand, even if you have not changed the dress, but inside if sannyasam consciousness is there, that's what Krishna gives more importance to. That's why he says here, Tyaga Rubatvam Rubasya Brahmaatma Avalokanatva Tyagodi Mahadam Purnatya Sadhyo Modi Sadhyo Mochamayi Viduhu. Upanishads are saying here that this Tyagam means sacrifice, that able to withdraw oneself from the world outside and reflect on the soul and able to progress on that path. Tyagoni mahadam purna sadhyo mochamayi viduhu. That Upanishad is saying like this, that talking about this important step, that Tyagam, Tyagam of this world, freedom from this world. Ishavasyam idam sarvam yat kinchat jagatyam jagat tena tektvena bunchita ma grada kasya siddhanam. That tektvena bunchita, that is what that is saying about. Tektvena bunchita means not in a mood to take anything from this world. Able to, but why? Not because somebody has told you to do it. No. Internally you have realized it, that none of these things are really helping me in my spiritual realization. Only it is taking my attention away from the truth inside. With that understanding, if your attraction for the world outside goes away, tena tektvena bunchita. That is what tena tektvena bunchita. That if you forcefully, somebody says to you, okay, when you read the translation of that verse, what does it say? Translation says that you should, whom it belongs to. Ishavasyam idam sarvam. Yeah, everything animate or inanimate that is within the universe is controlled and owned by the Lord. One should therefore accept only those things necessary for himself, which are set aside as his quota, and one should not accept other things, knowing well to whom they belong. This is one translation of that, but the expanded understanding of that verse is this, that you attraction for the world outside has gone away from inside. Why? Because you have realized the truth is not outside what you are looking for, it is right here inside, present there. Aham Atma Gudagesha Sarva Bhudashayastida Aham Adyanja Madhyanja Bhudanam Antamevacha. And that is very strongly fixed up inside. So naturally, the attraction in the world outside is gone, attractions has turned away. Because the attraction has gone away to the world outside, due to this intense search for the truth inside, Vairagyam has come to you in a natural way. And that is that tena tektvena bunchita. Otherwise, tena tektvena bunchita. Suppose I say this to somebody, which are set aside as his quota. A rich man will say, I need all these things for my life, how can I live? So who decides whose quota, how much is it? Who will decide that? A poor person who is used to a lot of austerities in life, he will say, I am satisfied with one or two dhotis. A rich man will say, I need my whole wardrobe full of suits because that's what I am used to. My standard of life is like that. Now who will decide who should have how much? So that is not the principle behind it. Although in translation it is correct to say like that. What it means is, the subtle meaning behind that is, this understanding has to come in a spiritual way to that person. Here he says here, tena tektena bunjida ma grida kasya siddhanam, which are set aside as his quota. Now a rich man will say, my prarabdham is such that so much money is coming to me. I'm born in a good rich family. Lot of money parents have given me. Plus, the business what they are doing is also creating a lot of wealth. Now what should that man do? He will say, this has all come to me. What shall I do with it? All this money. So he will not going to change into a simple life, you see. He won't be satisfied with that. He will leave his standard, and that is his quota allotted to him. And a poor man who doesn't have any money or very poor in every way, he will be struggling whole day even to get the very minimum necessities of life. This also you see there in this world. So, sages knew all these problems. Not that they don't know anything about it. What they are telling us, if your attention has fallen on the soul, and if you have become serious about spiritual life, all these things doesn't have any effect on you. They are not important, because those substances for which we are working in this world, objects for which we are trying to acquire or take control of, it's all not reality. They are not the reality. Reality is the soul. The only reality is the soul, nothing else. That's the point this verse is stressing on. Ishavasyam idam sarvam. In everything there is only Krishna, nothing else. Isha is Krishna. Krishna is present in everything. Yat kincha jagatyam jagat. That cover this whole world with Krishna. That is the only solution to that. If you put this whole cover on the whole world outside, then you can completely able to break away from that. Otherwise, it is not possible. Whereas, if ragadvesham develops inside, attachment or aversion develops inside, then naturally, you will want something, you want to reject something. This whole process will begin inside. Inside the process will begin. That's why he says like that. So, ragadvesham will come. So, So, Ishavasyam Idam Sarvam. Cover this whole world with Krishna. In other words, we have to get out of this understanding that something exists outside Krishna. Nothing exists outside Krishna. Yet Kincha. That there should be no substance where Krishna is not present. If you think singing like that, Krishna says, if you see Krishna's presence in everything, or you cover everything with Krishna, automatically raga dvesha won't happen. Why do we get attracted to something in this world, objects? Because there is raga dvesham inside. So Krishna's point is, in order that raga dvesham not to develop to anyone or to any object in this world, the only possibility of doing that is by Ishavasyam Idam Sarvam. Everything is Krishna. If we take it that way, Ragadvesham won't happen. See, Ragadvesham happens because of the vasanas inside. Isn't it? Vasanas inside. That's why Ragadvesham happens. Say you saw a nice car, which you like very much. So there's something ragam inside towards that car. Inside vasana is attraction towards that. Or something which you don't like it, there's dvesham inside. So ragam dvesham is inside us, which is imposed upon any object or another person or things like that. It will happen. So spiritually, when you make some progress in spiritual life, normal tendency is, as soon as you sense there is raga dvesham developing, you should move away from there. You should move away from that. It's neither good for the person who is present there or those who are involved in that. It's not a good thing. And that is, otherwise it will develop into, spiritually it is very harmful to the person. It's very harmful to the person. So, ragadvesha vimukteistu, Krishna says in the second chapter, vishayan indriyaischaran. If you don't go along with the senses, sense objects and ragadvesham don't develop, then what will happen? Atma vashya vidheya atma prasadam abhigachadi. He will be able to get closer to the soul very quickly and shanti will come for that person. Prasadam abhigachadi. So, if you do like that, Krishna says you will become perfect very quickly. So otherwise that perfection is not possible to reach that state. So, you know this word called akhandada. Akhandada means that this bodham or awareness which is present in everything, in every living entity, that awareness is there. It is from that awareness everything is coming out. In different names, different forms, different individuals. When you identify with the body, you identify and limit yourselves with the body, mind, intelligence like that, you fall. If you don't identify with the body, you identify with the consciousness inside, you are a part of that unbroken thing, akhandada, inside. That akhandada becomes broken when you get ragadvesham develops inside. And that is called vichiti. In Shastra Upanishads, the word they call it is vichiti. So this is the only difference between a self-realized soul and us. Say for example, Sudeva Goswami. But what is the difference between Sudeva Goswami and us? Sudeva Goswami is concerned, all living entities is seen as Krishna's presence in everyone. We are seeing everyone as different, with different names, different titles, different nationality, different language, different body, different culture, like that. This difference Sudeva Goswami doesn't have. That's all. That's all the differences. So it's a simple difference, but that's a big difference. When he is seeing people, he is not seeing he is Indian, American, European, white, black, any such thing. No identity like that. That is Ishavasyam Idam Sarvam. He has covered everything, Krishna. He has covered, put this curtain on everyone, Krishna. So, Ishavasyam Idam Sarvam Yad Kincha Jagatyam Jagat. He says, if you do like that on the whole universe, Jagat, then that will avoid all your problems. And then, Tena Tek Tena Bunjida. And then you go inwards and inquire about that truth. At that time, your attraction will go to this world. Ma Grida Kasya Sildhanam. And therefore, he says here, that the that is the only difference. But that difference is a big difference. That difference is a big difference. This particular mantra, Ishavasyam Idam Sarvam, it is such a famous mantra. Many philosophers in the West also have studied this particular mantra, especially the German philosophers like Nietzsche, Kant and many others, they have taken Ishvamaneshwara, this particular mantra. What is the secret behind this mantra? They were trying to understand this. Because this mantra tells you something which you don't normally come across in the normal way. In the sense that it's telling you that why should I see everything Krishna first of all? That is the first question, isn't it? When somebody is telling you, science is telling you to break everything and give separate identity to everything. And the more you break up, you become more minute in your understanding. You start seeing that this is different from the other, from the other, from the other. That's how scientific research goes, isn't it? So they thought about this. Why did the sages say like this to us? After all, they also, many of these German philosophers, they had great respect for the Upanishads' knowledge. So some of them have taken these Upanishads and studied very well. And they had this question to ask about this particular mantra, Ishavasyamidam Sarvam. Why did they say like this? Whereas the science is telling us to go further and further, breaking it up and see in minute detail to analyze. Whereas Upanishad is telling us, cover the whole thing with one thing, that is Krishna. And the problem is solved. And you will know the truth. That's what they are saying. Upanishad is saying. So it's a completely different route Upanishads are pointing out to us. And therefore, when it became so popular, that the Upanishads mantram has become so popular. So, and it also saw, they also realized that the advantage of saying that is that the greed will go away from a person. A person who has understood this principle, Ishavasyamidam Sarvam, their greed goes away. You mean? Because human nature, if you culture the vasanas strongly, for the greed develops inside, then sky is the limit. Isn't it? It goes on and on and on. So, and then it says there that don't desire others' wealth. Magrida kasya siddhanam. That don't desire others' wealth. So, not to desire anything. In other words, kasya siddhanam, question is coming, who is desiring? Who has the desire to have it? Isn't it? So, when you say that I want to have all this wealth and I want to have a wealthy person, who is that person wants to be? So, Upanishad is also pointing out that if you go on asking these questions to yourself, then these desires will also leave you, because desires are coming from the mind. All according to the ragadvesham and the vasanas, it's coming. So to free yourself from the influence of the mind, influence of these vasanas, the only way you can do, and the simplest way, Upanishads are talking about is to cover everything with Krishna. Ishavasyam idam sarvam, yat kinja jagatyam jagat. So, as we said before, there is nothing specially to be done for this. It is this understanding that has to grow inside. That is the most important thing. And with that, this Krishna says here, tena tek tena bunchida, that that while taking from this world anything, tena tek tena bunchida, knowing very well you are sacrificing many things in life. If you take it that way, it will not have any harmful effect inside. In other words, that while taking things from this world, enjoy it, he says. Giving up and enjoying it. That is the principle. Normally, how do we enjoy? When we get a lot, isn't it? We acquire a lot of money, we acquire a lot of material opulences, and we say, I've enjoyed this, I've enjoyed that. Sage's way is, cover everything with Krishna, and don't take anything and enjoy life, he says. It's a very high principle. Sometimes we won't understand it, what they are saying. Tena tektvena bunjida. He says, it is possible to enjoy that way. Magrida kasvasil dhanam. Because it is at that point that you are actually recognizing Krishna in this world. Till you recognize Krishna in this world, all our so-called chanting, deity worship, and all our propaganda, whatever we do, that's all secondary. The primary thing is this principle of accepting Krishna's presence in this world. Who is Krishna? One in whom everything, as Krishna says, aham eva samevagre, Nanyadim Sarasalparam Paschadaham Yededacha Yovashusheda Sosmiham. That in the beginning only I was existing. In the end also only I am existing. Because in the beginning and in the end, only me existing, in the middle also, it's only me who is existing. So therefore, in the middle is all the confusion coming to us. Because we are in the middle, isn't it? If you accept that, Krishna only existed in the beginning. Krishna only exists at the end. In the middle also, only Krishna can exist. And that is where all the confusion is. And Krishna says, if you come to that understanding, then you have realized the truth. Paschadaham yadedacha yovashushyada sosmiham. That is the Chalishlogi Bhagavadam. So Bhagavadam, that principle is what this verse is talking about, Ishavasyamidam Sarvam. So when the sages in Upanishads as well as in the Bhagavadam, when they present the truth, the words may be different. In different ways they will speak about the same thing. But when you start going deeply into that verse, you will see the same truth is spoken. Same truth is spoken. To recognize that, in the beginning Krishna existed, in the end also Krishna exists. Because in the beginning and in the end only Krishna exists, in the middle also only Krishna can exist. That is a very logic, isn't it? Very logical it is. Aham eva sam eva agre. In the beginning only it's me, only. Nan anyat sadasat param. Nothing else was existing. Paschad aham yadedacha. Yovashishyada sosmiha means, at the end, it's only me. At the end of everything, it's only me. In the beginning, only it is me. Paschad, therefore, paschad aham yadedacha, it's only me in the middle also. This is the logic. If you are not getting it, think about it. You'll get it. In the beginning, only Krishna existed. In the end also, only Krishna exists. What is not there in the beginning and what is not in the end cannot exist in the middle. This is the logic. Yeah. So it is from that. But what has happened to us? In the middle we are seeing all this world. And we are thinking this is separate, that separate, that separate. Everybody is separate. So many names, so many forms in this world. And we start taking them all separate. And that is the confusion caused to us. But Shastram is very, very particular about this. What is in the beginning and what is at the end only exists in the middle. If you haven't got it, think about it again. You will get it, what we are saying. It is an important statement in the Bhagavad. This is only one verse on which whole Srimad Bhagavatam 18,000 verses were spoken. Or to explain this one verse. In so many ways. So 335 chapters, 18,000 odd verses, all to explain this one verse. Aham eva sameva agre, nanyajit sarasat param, paschad aham yadedacha yovashishyada sosmiham. That's all it has to say. That is why this Upanishad statement brought into, this is what Krishna told Brahma. And from Brahma, thought with all his four heads what this is all about. And at one point, Brahmastuti, it says, although he had four heads, but not an ounce of brain inside about Brahma. Says, he couldn't think about it, you know. Why? That's why, you see, why we study Bhagavadam? We study Bhagavadam for this reason only. Through Brahma, through all these sages, they are pointing out to us how to live in this world. Brahma, due to his extreme vyavaharam, what he was involved with, he lost control. He couldn't answer the question, isn't it? When Kumaras asked the question, Brahma could not answer. Why? Due to Vyavaharam. He was busy with his karma. In other words, karmadhi, it says there, isn't it? So he could not answer the question when Kumaras asked the question. Now, all these things are there to tell us. Otherwise, what does it matter to us? Whether it happened to Brahma or whether it happened to Kumara? It doesn't matter. What is its significance on us? What is its impact on us? That is what's more important. And that's why it is brought into Bhagavadam. Sudeva Goswami spoke these things not to tell us the history, what happened between Kumaras and Brahma. No, what is the significance of karma? How that will bind you to this world? How Vyavaharam will take you away from the truth? And you will get completely distracted, Chittavritti will increase, and naturally you will have no taste for spiritual life. You will lose it on some point or the other. Then the goalpost will change. You have come to spiritual life to realize the truth. But then the whole thing goes in another direction. it becomes expansion of the institution or becoming rich or becoming this or that. So many new ideas will come. And you have forgotten the whole thing for which what you have started this life, spiritual life. That's how it turns out at the end. And by then, many, many sannyasis have spoken this. This is what I am saying. They have got involved with projects and they have got involved with so many different concepts in their head that they have to do this, they have to do that. And they started realizing that it's not getting me anywhere at the end. I got a lot of buildings here and there and for preaching this. And then whole time was busy to maintain them. Because it's not easy. You acquire some building, then you have to maintain that. Then you have to get the money for it. Then you have to go to rich man. Then you have to listen to him, what he says. Like this. That is why Vairagyam is such that Kasmat Bhajanti Kavayodhana Dhurmadhandha. Straight away, Sukadeva Goswami said to us in the beginning of the second canto, why do you have to go after all these people? Kasmat Bhajanti Kavayo Dhana Durmadhanda, who are proud with their wealth and falsity in their life. Why should you chase them? For what? He asked the question there, isn't it? So, this is the thing, that if we don't take these things on in our spiritual life as guidelines, then we will be driven by the crowd. Everybody will tell you, do this, preaching. Go on preaching all the things, what you feel is right. And then, whole world, you have to become bring under Krishna consciousness. World is never going to become Krishna conscious. It's not going to happen. So, we will stop there. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. I'll have a small kirtan for 5 minutes or so.